quiet on the set. Can we please have quiet on the set?
Awesome!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
Sorry for the delayed start there. I was trying to decide whether I wanted water before starting this Brian Noonan Show podcast on WGNRadio.com with Brian Noonan, because it's the Brian Noonan Show podcast, and Brian Noonan is...
And who are you?
I'm Cody Goff.
Your producer, Cody.
I was going to get to that.
Well, listen, no, don't bury the lead. Don't bury the lead. Get your name out there.
Now I'm in trouble.
You know, your mom and your girlfriend's mother are listening. They want to hear you say your name.
You're in the lead.
Well, listen, my name's on the marquee, that's all.
I don't know if you're in the lead, but you are.
I'm not in the lead.
My
poll numbers are very soft.
Oh, man, that's rough.
Very, very soft.
Polls are going up and down, and they're all over the place, Brian. You never know.
You never know who's going to cause them to change.
Who could know? So we're here yet again posting a website-exclusive podcast because the Blackhawks loved our time slot on the air so much.
It's a good time slot, and I could see why the Blackhawks and the NHL would say, you know what? That Sunday evening spot, that's prime listening time. So we're going to play our games there. But we come back on the air February 6th.
Wait, I thought we came back next week. Don't we come back
January 24th? No.
No, I thought we came back the 31st.
I don't think so.
Well, I'm coming back.
Are you coming back on the 31st?
Coming back
is that
31st.
Right? You're coming back the 31st?
I think we're actually back on the 31st.
Oh, boy.
This is where we should... Blackhawks schedule. First, I forgot water. Then we forgot when we're actually coming back.
Well, we are going to be on the 21st. I know that.
You sure?
That much I know. Or no, on the 6th. I know that because I just looked up the schedule yesterday. Because I was saying to myself, hey, self, when are we going to actually do a show?
No, man. Hawks are not playing on January 31st?
I missed. All right. January 31st is when we're back then.
We're back January 31st, a week from the day we post this podcast.
But I am correct. We are back on the 6th as well.
We're also back on the 7th. Yes.
All right. So, wow. That's quicker than I thought. I have to rearrange my whole mindset. I am not mentally prepared to come back on Sunday nights yet.
How will you ever do a radio show?
I don't know. Well, let's worry about that in a week. I can't worry about that right now. We have bigger fish to fry. We have a lot of things to get to. You can always follow us, even when the show is not on. We obviously listen to this podcast. But you can go to Facebook.com or Twitter.com. Do I need to say the .com? What is it? We're new to the internet? Everybody new to the internet? At least I didn't say www.facebook.com.
Oh, that would have been rough.
People always... I find it funny that people still say that. And advertisements or advertisements, if you're British, they will still say that. Some guy outside the Allstate Showcase studio, I wonder if he's vaping. He just blew a cloud of smoke that would make Dirty Dragon jealous. There's a reference for all our baby boomer listeners. Dirty Dragon. You don't remember BJ and Dirty Dragon.
I was going to say, isn't that what heroin users chase?
No, you chase the dragon, but Dirty Dragon was actually a puppet who was very, very popular here in Chicago.
Yeah, no, that's totally over my head.
No, that's all right. People will get it. People will appreciate it. They will applaud the reference, they will visually know that Dirty Dragon blew out. Well, and you should know a dragon. You just get the reference of a dragon blowing smoke.
Well, we're multi-generational. That's the whole appeal of our podcast.
There's an appeal. Well, all right. I thought the only appeal was please listen to the podcast.
Somebody's listening, so.
I like it.
I don't know.
I like it. I'm sorry. I'm going to be a little off, I think, tonight because the inside of my mouth feels like Freddy Krueger's face.
Wow. Why?
I have never burned my mouth so badly in my entire life. The other night, we were having dinner, and I was really hungry, and I took a bite of an enchilada that, honest to God, seared the top of my mouth, where I couldn't get it off because it was burning the skin on the top of my mouth. And I had to get it out. And I immediately felt the skin, like along my teeth, peeled off. It was hanging there. That's how badly I burned the top of my mouth.
Why?
I don't know. Because normally I'm very good about it. I've been trying to lose. I put on a couple pounds over Christmas. So I've been trying to get those pounds away.
As we all do.
Right. And so I was having one of my lean cuisines, which had been my staple for the last 4 years during the week. And normally I am very conscientious about blowing on it to cool down the bite before I pop it in my mouth. Because I don't let it sit there really to cool off. I'm starving by the time dinner comes. And I guess the piece I cut was just a little too big, and I thought I had blown on it enough, but I must not have. And because it was big, it basically, like, it was enchilada width. You know what an enchilada is.
I know right? Enchiladas.
So an enchilada width is about the same as the roof of your mouth width.
Yeah.
So it got jammed up there, and I could almost hear it sizzling the skin off the top of my mouth feels so bad right now. And the tip of my tongue is completely burned. It was horrifying.
Well, at least you're able to articulate. You're a very, you enunciate very well.
Oh, thank you.
So,
because I hate mumble mouths. I do. I just speak up.
I feel like I slur my words half the time.
That's because you're drunk 90% of the time.
Oh, is that why?
I shouldn't say this. I don't know. I hope that even in the back in the day when I would consume larger quantities of alcohol, I think I would still be able to communicate clearly. One time, I remember this vividly, only because I don't remember it, but I remember the story that I heard afterward.
Good.
It was a St. Patrick's Day, and we were all at this bar, and I ran into some people that I used to work with at Marshall Fields. And so afterwards, like 2 days later, I run into this guy again, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remembered seeing him at the bar. And he goes, dude, I don't know how you did it. You were talking to me, and then something happened. And about 2 minutes later, you picked up the conversation exactly where you had stopped talking. It was like you had never missed a beat, and it had been 2 or 3 minutes that we had been interrupted. He said, do you remember any of this? And I was like, no, I don't remember a thing about it.
Good.
But that was that.
See, my drunk skill is I was once so drunk that I couldn't stand up and stumble to the bathroom without leaning on every piece of furniture on the way. And yet, sitting on my friend's floor at a party, I was able to beat Super Mario Brothers 3 from start to finish with no cheat codes.
You're like a savant.
I mean, I use the warp whistle, as we all do.
Sure, we all use the warp whistle, especially when we're being attacked late at night, somewhere maybe on Lower Wacker or a dark, desolate street. You got to blow that warp whistle. So I tell my daughter, carry one all around New Orleans. She's got a warp whistle.
Always, yeah.
Oh, you got to be ready to blow it.
Though you never know where you'll end up.
No.
When you use a warp whistle. This is a literal thing. You don't know where. I mean, you do know because you choose which world you're going to. We don't need to get into the warp whistle.
No, isn't that your other podcast where you talk about nerd stuff?
Game Life Gaming Balance is a lifestyle podcast.
I'm coming on that podcast if I'm ever invited. I have a lifestyle.
All right.
And I'm willing to comment on just about anything.
All right.
Except video. But I have been, I feel closer to you now because I've been using the Wii system more lately, only to run Netflix through it. But still, I've been turning on the Wii and trying to figure out the shaky remote. Those are the worst remotes.
They are not perfect.
No. They're very, I'm pointing it at the control bar and I figure it should work. But then if you move it just a little too far, it's gone. And you can't bring it back. And then the finger's shaking like it's got palsy. I'm like, what's going on? All I want to do is click on the Netflix icon. That's all I want to do. And yet I'm like, and I have to stand up from the chair. So it's like 1960s. I have to stand up from the chair to work this weird remote because somehow the angle from my recliner to the control bar doesn't work. So now I have to have Debbie kind of move. We're gonna experiment. Move the control bar from place to place so that my sloth does not get disturbed when I'm trying to turn on the Netflix.
How big is the room?
It is massive. You know, I live in an estate.
Right. How far away from the TV are you sitting?
400 feet.
See, and that could be the problem.
Is that too much?
Is it a bright room?
Not if I'm sitting in it. No. Well, the last couple months, no, because we've had the Christmas tree on.
Okay.
So our TV viewing has been illuminated by the Christmas tree.
Okay, because the Wii sensor bar detects light. It detects infrared light.
Yes.
That's emitted from the Wii remote.
Right.
Or vice versa.
Well, I should be okay if it's a darker room, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But sometimes light interference is a thing with the Wii.
So I gotta watch Netflix in the pitch black.
Fun
so
fact.
So that my remote works.
But you like the darkness.
I do love the darkness. It's in my soul. It's in my TV room. It's everywhere.
It's in all those
I'm
things.
Surrounded by darkness. Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk to you again, if I can quote Simon and Garfunkel, which I can because it's our podcast, so I can do whatever I want.
And you know you can get away with quoting anything pre-1978, and I won't know it.
All right. Wow. And that's a classic song.
There are many classic songs, Brian, that I do not.
Well, all right. Listen, then that segues beautifully into something that I have to address that we addressed on the last podcast, and things have changed since then. And I know you may be listening to this out of order, but if that's the case, deal with it. Go back, re-listen, binge listen. That's what you should do. Whoa. Binging is all the thing. Last time we talked about the deaths of David Bowie and Alan Rickman.
Yes.
And I said that there's really no celebrity that I've gotten upset about them dying. I mean, I feel bad. I'm sad, but I never really emotionally affects me.
I know where you're going with this. I'm excited to hear.
So Glenn Frey died.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The other day. One of the founding members of the Eagles. Where did you think I was going with this?
Well,
since now we know that that's not where you thought I was going.
Well, this person is not dead, but the name on Twitter was trending today, Robert Redford.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
And so a lot of people were tweeting that it's because I don't even know why he was trending. Okay. He's presenting somewhere or did something.
Sundance, he's the founder of Sundance.
Okay, but a lot of people were coming on and just tweeting about how they were relieved that when they saw that he was trending, he wasn't dead.
Oh, my. Yeah, I figure if anybody's trending, they've died.
Exactly.
Or if there's a story on the news about someone, they've died. There's going to be nothing. Now, Robert Redford, again, I would be saddened, but it wouldn't hit me as much.
Sure.
So Glenn Frey died.
Right.
One of the founders of the Eagles. Wrote a million songs. I'm sure you know some Eagles songs.
I know. Hotel California, have sung at karaoke.
All right. Very nice. And he wrote or co-wrote most of the Eagles hits. And then he had a solo career in the 80s when the Eagles broke up or didn't broke up, whatever you want to, however they say it. And I have always loved the Eagles. They were actually my first concert. At Comiskey Park when I had just graduated from eighth grade, and my buddy Mike Collins and I went down. My dad drove us down, dropped us off at Comiskey. We weren't sure where the line was, so it turns out we cut in line unintentionally. We just kind of, a gate opened and we wandered in. So we were in the outfield at the old Comiskey Park, and here was the bill. Pablo Cruz was opening. Their big hit was Love Will Find a Way. Just in case you don't, I know you don't know Pablo Cruz.
Nope.
Nobody knows Pablo Cruz.
Yeah, eyes glazed over.
I'm the only one who remembers Pablo Cruz. Maybe Pablo Cruz remembers Pablo Cruz.
You know, if we were on the air right now, we would
get a million people would call.
300
phone
calls.
Oh, my God. Pablo Cruz played at my high school reunion.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is probably what they're doing now, if they're even together. Maybe they're dead. Oh, God, I hope not. Did I jinx them? See if they're trending.
All right, I'll Google it.
Google Pablo Cruz. See if they're trending. So Pablo Cruz opened the Steve Miller Band. You know the Steve Miller Band?
I almost said they did the Eagles.
They did not
do
the Eagles.
A little wrong.
I don't know what happened backstage.
Sure.
But they did their own stuff. Steve Miller actually still around. So, and then the Eagles headlined. And there's just something about the Eagles that I've always loved. My favorite song, bar none, is Take It to the Limit, which is an Eagles song.
Sure.
I've always had that affinity. When CDs came out, and I know I've just dated myself, but there was a time when there were no CDs.
There was.
So CDs started to become a big thing, and I'm a late adopter. So CDs have been out a while, and we finally bought ourselves a CD player, and the first CD we bought was Common Thread, Songs of the Eagles, which was a country tribute album of Eagles songs.
Okay.
So obviously the Eagles have been a thing with me for a long time. So, and I did what every goofball, whoever drives Route 66 to California or back does. I stood on a corner in Winslow, Arizona, because that's from Take It Easy.
Uh-huh.
So I got out of the car. And this was, like, now there's a statue and a whole thing there. When I did it, there was nothing. I just picked a random corner. I was driving back from California with the dogs in the back of the station wagon. And I was like, I have to do it. And this was before camera phones, you know. So I got out, and it was windy and dusty, and I think I took a picture of the corner, or I did that old trick when you used to try to hold the camera, a real camera, out and take a picture, which never worked.
Sure.
But I did that, and I remember calling home and telling Debbie, hey, I just stood on a corner in Winslow, Arizona, and she liked that too. So anyway, Glenn Frey dies the other day, unexpectedly, and I was sad the first night. It shocked me. And then the next morning, I'm watching the news, and they did like a retrospective, kind of a tribute thing, And I'm sitting at the breakfast table, and I got all choked up. And I, like, a couple tears came out of me, and I was like, holy cow. And then, of course, the whole day, Eagles songs were running through my head. So I guess, you know, there I found somebody who affected me. And I guess maybe it's because the Eagles were such a big part of my life, and their documentary is just phenomenal. So there was the one. I understood people being sad when Bowie died, and I understood people being, you know, emotionally wrecked, I guess. But now it affected me, and I was like, oh, all right, now I get it.
Yeah.
I get it even more.
It's the retrospective montages.
Yes, and the music and the, you know, that's it. It's almost like, you know, watching one of those long-distance commercials. They suck you in. That's what happens. They pray. Plus, it's early in the morning, and I'm emotionally vulnerable because I'm not really awake yet.
And excuses pour in.
That's right.
You're really very manly, but you were caught off guard.
No, I got choked up because he was only 67, too.
I thought he was 69. Well, still, not
Google
70.
It.
Is
he,
I'm,
no,
I,
who was 69? Bowie was 69.
Oh, that's right.
Bowie was 69. Glenn Frey was 67. And then it's funny. You hear all the theories. Well, was it the rock and roll lifestyle that killed him too early? Shut up. Just shut up. Who cares? The guy had a good time. You know? Take it easy. Am I boring you?
No,
I'm
no,
sorry.
No.
Are you tired?
Yes, I'm tired. Because
I know you're tired.
It's 5 a.m. every day.
I get up at 4:30 every day. I don't want to hear
you. I bet you do.
I do.
No, I know that sounded sarcastic,
yes,
but
it
wasn't intended to be.
I'll throw down with you right now.
I know you probably would.
I know you love that thing where you say you're something and then everybody goes, why are you complaining? I know that's one of your favorite things.
You know, you reminded me when you mentioned the montage, you reminded me of the last celebrity death I got really upset about.
Which was?
It was completely unexpected. Mae Young.
Oh, the wrestling woman.
The wrestling woman.
The old lady wrestler.
Yes, the old. I mean, she was 80-something or 90-something. She was very old.
And did you cry?
No, but I got really upset at work about it. It was because I watched the highlight video.
It.
It's when you watch the highlights and you watch them touching people's lives and...
Yes, and you hear... And it's a generational thing, too. Like, you grew up watching her. I grew up listening to the Eagles.
Although I didn't. That's the weird thing.
Oh, it was just a montage?
I mean, she was on WWE television in the late 90s, early 2000s, doing stuff on camera, but she was in her 60s or 70s.
All right.
And I didn't see her in her heyday when she was a thing. She was more of a kind of gimmicky shtick.
Right.
But still, then it started showing her importance in the history of wrestling, and then some of the funny stuff she did when I did watch. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's those editors. Yeah, I blame it on the editors.
WWE has the best video editors in the world.
Really?
I think so.
Okay,
dude. Some other.
Listen, I'm not saying no. I'm not as well versed in WWE video editing as you are.
All right, if you're listening to this, Google or search on YouTube for The Rock Stone Cold Steve Austin promo WrestleMania 17.
Should I do that now?
You don't, no, not right
oh,
now.
Not me.
But
okay.
Limp Bizkit. So if you can't remember 17, then just remember Limp Bizkit is playing.
All right.
They were the featured band. They did a theme song, and that sounds terrible. But honestly, the Limp Bizkit, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock promo for their match at WrestleMania 17 is unbelievable.
Okay.
Unbelievable. That one and the Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels 2. From WrestleMania 28?
How do you remember this
27?
Stuff?
27? 27 or... No, it would have been 29. I don't know. Upper 20s.
I'm laughing because I love that you make fun of sports guys, and yet you have an encyclopedic knowledge of these wrestling things and video games. So everybody has their thing that they're, you know, weird about.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sure I have one. But,
that's fair. I'll give you that.
But I don't know.
All right. Well, we both had a couple actual topics.
Just did one. So now, in the spirit of fairness, I'll let you go to yours.
We'll do one, and we're going to get a chance later to get into listener.
Yes, we. Cody posted this today on the Facebook or earlier today on the Facebook page, asking what you'd like us to discuss. So we have. We'll go through some of those. We have some came in on Twitter at Brian Noonan Show and on Facebook at Brian Noonan Show and at producer Cody on Twitter as well.
All right.
All right. What do you got?
Saturday, I was at a friend's birthday party.
Look at you.
He lives with his friend who he's subletting a room.
You have a friend who lives with a friend?
Yes. It's
we're trying to keep, let me keep strange. The flow chart going.
So we're in this house, quote unquote, but it's the city, so it's not a house. It's just a four-story condo.
Hold on.
Right? What's, I don't know the difference.
How could a house be quote-unquote house? Was it an apartment or was it a house?
Well, he owns it.
Okay.
If it's from the ground floor, including a garage all the way to the fourth floor, but it's in the same building, then that's a condo, right?
Well, is it one unit in this big building or is it the entire building made into a single family dwelling?
It is one unit. The building.
It's one unit in the building.
Yes.
So it's a condo.
So it's a condo.
Right.
Just a very large condo.
Right. Because a condo is basically an apartment that you own.
Sure.
Okay. Is that what this is?
Yes.
All right.
So, we're in this...
but you can say you're in a guy's house. All right. That's fine.
It's... When I think condo, I think one story. When I think house, I think like four story. It's a vertical condo.
Okay, there can be two floor condos.
I'm not unrealistic. We need Jerry for this.
Who's Jerry? Is it a two flat?
It's a
four flat.
What does that mean?
A two flat means it's like two apartments in one building.
No.
It's a condo that has a second floor.
Yeah, fourth. It has
all four floors.
The ground floor, main floor, third floor, and then a rooftop. So three floors.
Okay.
It's a very tall condo.
It sounds like a lovely place.
It's a lovely place.
How does labeling it help move your story along?
That's a good question.
All right.
It became a topic in and of itself, Brian.
Wow. It mutated.
Hot talk.
Is that what this is? Hot talk.
Hot real estate talk.
What kind of place do I live in?
Condo or house?
Give us a call. Oh, we're on a podcast. You can't call us.
Nah, you can't call us. You could act like we have a caller and just pick up and say hello and then slam the phone down.
Hello? Yeah. It was a real. It was Century 21.
It's a great bit.
They're national but neighborly.
Go ahead. <now? laughs>
I don't know. That's what the commercials used to be.
All right. Well, we're in this nondescript building that may or may not be a condo
or a
house.
You're in a four-floor place. You're in a man's dwelling.
We're in a man's dwelling, and there's maybe 15 of us.
Wow.
I'd say 12 or 13 probably. Okay. So that's not a raging party, right?
No, I don't think so. Not for a four-floor dwelling.
Right. And there's one speaker. Like an audio speaker.
Like behind a podium giving a speech?
So not one person speaking, but someone's laptop is connected to one speaker. It's a tiny, like a sound bar kind of thing.
Okay.
Not that much noise. And it's 1:30 in the morning on a Saturday night into Sunday morning. And a neighbor comes over.
You paint the most specific pictures.
There's a reason for this.
All right. I got you.
The neighbor comes over, pounding on the door, and just... screams at the guy who answered the door. And it's just, my baby, you woke up my baby. Oh. I can't believe you're making so much noise, blah, 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 all this stuff. So, I mean, that's fine.
May I have a question?
Yes.
If he owns the whole thing from the garage up to the top, where's the neighbor?
It would have been next door to the
like another
see,
building?
This is why I got into this. But it's next door. I believe they share some walls.
A combo
walls.
Wall. Okay.
A combo wall, right?
I got it. Okay.
Yeah, but it would have been, they would have been up a floor and over. And we were, because the living room's on the second floor and the bedrooms are on the third floor.
Okay.
So it would have been up and over one.
Gotcha.
It's not like on the other side of the wall.
Okay.
You know? And he's just raging. And my thing is, I get it. It's a nicer area. It's in... kind of old. It's like by the Steppenwolf Theater.
Oh, okay.
So old town-ish.
Yeah. What are they?
Old Lincoln town, Lincoln Park. Park.
Lincoln, yeah, Park, Lincoln is, Park. Yeah, that's Lincoln Park.
So pretty good.
Sure.
Probably
nice.
A really expensive place.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, one of the guys drives a BMW. Like, it's nice places. But when you live in a city and it's 1:30 in the morning on a Saturday night, once in a while, don't you kind of expect there to be some disruption of the peace?
Yeah, well...
So you've never lived in the city, so this is why I'm interested in
your perspective. But I've lived in apartments. It depends. Certain neighborhoods, I would say, yes, 100%. You've got to figure, if you live in Wrigleyville, if you live in, Lincoln Park too, but not so much anymore with Lincoln Park. There's a lot of families moving in there. But also, yeah, you have to expect that every once in a while. I mean... living in the suburbs, every once in a while, your neighbor would have a party that would go late into the night, like in the summer outside, and it'd be noisy.
Sure.
That just happens every once in a while. So, yes, if I'm sharing a wall with someone, I would expect that – I would hope that it was fewer times rather than more times than not, that there might be some times when it'd get a little loud. And then you either knock on the wall or you come and knock on the door and ask politely. Or, you know, with foresight, you go to your neighbor and go, hey, man, I'm having a party tonight. Just so you know, it might get a little...
People don't talk to neighbors, Brian.
Okay. Well, they obviously do when they come storming into the door at 1:30 in the morning.
Apparently.
Was he in his boxer shorts?
I was passed out on the couch, really wasted.
Okay.
Not going to lie. I fell asleep there and woke up at 7.
So did you dream this story?
No.
This actually happened.
It was verified the next day.
All right. So to answer your question, yes, I would expect that every once in a while there's going to be some noise.
And I get that if you have a kid, that kind of sucks. But I just feel
not my problem that you procreated
in a
noisy area.
Exactly.
Take your child out to a farm if you want it nice and quiet.
I just feel
Ted Kaczynski. Take him to a shanty out in the woods.
Do we want that?
What? Everybody raising their kids in the woods?
Ted Kaczynski?
Listen, if you want to isolate them from everything, take them to the woods.
Yeah, that's fair.
Put them in a shack. That's all I'm saying. Go
well,
on.
I just think as a city dweller, and I've lived in Wicker Park and Lakeview and Lincoln Park and North Center. I've lived around. I've been around.
Right, you've been evicted a few times. You had to go. You had to move.
Few, yes. And I just feel maybe if it were 2:30 or 3 and there are 30 or 40 people, that's one thing.
Well, 15 people, 12 people can make enough noise to, 12 people can make a lot of noise.
I was passed out.
Right. So it can be noisy, but I think there's better ways to handle it. And what was the outcome? What did the guy do, the guy with the baby?
My friend apologized profusely and said, everybody, it kind
of
killed the buzz. Everybody pretty much laughed. But the neighbor was like, I'm going to call the cops on you guys. You're just so loud, blah, 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 and all that.
Call the cops then.
He's like, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I feel like the cops have better things to do than that.
The cops have a lot better things to do. That's what the cops would tell you too. Unless you're standing outside and you can hear this thing just raging, the cops are going to go, keep it down. Your neighbor's complaining. And they're going to say it that exasperated.
Have you had the cops called on you?
I'm sure I've had the cops called on
me.
I would
Should
imagine.
You have had I've the had, cops I, called
listen,
on you?
I've had so many run-ins with the law. It's amazing that I'm still on the street.
I'm surprised that nobody calls the cops in a WGN during
every
show.
Yeah, every Sunday the cops should be called. Or every night. That's why we podcast at different times every week. So the man doesn't know where we are.
People can see us on the web stream, though.
Is that right? Oh, can they still do that?
Yeah, remember last week we did that at the Showcase Studio? And
oh, yeah. We're in the Showcase Studio again.
We are. But not now, listener.
No.
If you're listening to the
podcast.
When
we recorded the podcast.
This is pre-recorded.
Right. When we recorded it, we were in the Showcase Studio,
so.
Which is always very nice.
Well, I just wanted to get your take because you're a domestic guy.
I am a domestic guy, and I don't like my peace disturbed.
Right.
We had, in this new house, there was a family, and I'm going to use the term loosely because I think it was just a collection of ne'er-do-wells, punk kids and jerks, two doors down when we first moved in. And they had a penchant, once school ended last year, of staying out in the backyard. The teens would stay out in the backyard on the weekends. And I understand that, but it would get to be 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And when you have your windows open, to hear kids screaming in the backyard at that hour, it's like, all right, that's enough. It's too late. And they teased my dogs. So Debbie wanted to go down there and just fight all these youths. And I was like, eh, you could probably take a couple of them, but then I'm going to get dragged in. And then it was an older man. Could have been a father. Could have been another ne'er-do-well, an uncle, cousin, whoever. There were some squatters, I think. He would always just sit on the back porch and drag. This is very hillbilly, and I don't live in a hillbilly area. They'd drag a TV out onto the back porch, and they'd just sit there. And then they'd have a fire, which I like having a fire out in the backyard. Like a controlled fire pit kind of area. Not just a wild, woo, let's set stuff on fire. But it would get to a point where it's like, all right, let's, TikTok. Time to bring it indoors.
1 in the morning on weekdays?
No, weekends.
See, I don't...
But again, we live where we live now is not like the suburbs with big, wide open spaces. We're in a very urban-feeling neighborhood. So the houses are close and the yards are close. And if you're out at that hour, and it's not like, a party crazy neighborhood. It's a family neighborhood. So people by 1 o'clock, you can be outside, but be cognizant of your surroundings and keep it down a little because you have to, if you're the only people out and it's the backyard goes to an alley, the alley is the other next backyard. I mean, we're all on top of each other. So you have to, and I know this is very, oh, so naive. You have to think about other people sometimes.
Do you?
Well, I think you do.
Because I heard there was a guy in a neighborhood in this city that actually had a ton of Christmas lights that he would turn on at 4 in the morning when he walked his dogs and blast light all around.
Not walked his dogs. The lights would be on at 4:30 in the morning for about 3 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Except for the singing of the snowmen, which I couldn't control because
singing
they
snowmen.
But again, they would sing. What did they sing? Whatever they sing, what I can't even remember because now they're packed away. But whatever they sing, they would sing, and then they'd stop. But I think a nice song. But plus, in the middle of December, people's windows are closed and their furnaces are on.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, you know, yeah. Yeah, that changes everything. I see. Backpedaling now.
No. Listen, there was nothing I could do. It was the only way because I had to – do we need to revisit this? I had to rig up the outdoor illumination at this house because the wiring is not up to code and the outlet outside doesn't work. So I had to rig everything together one crazy cord. So the only way I could turn on the backyard lights so the dogs didn't fall down the stairs was to turn on the switch that controlled the back porch light and all my front yard illumination.
Maybe those kids aren't allowed inside. Maybe they're agoraphobic or
whatever.
Those
kids are gone.
Oh.
They're gone. That family is gone. And again, family loose. Hmm. Very loose. They're gone.
Hmm.
Thank good riddance, I say. I wipe my hands of them.
And listener, go check out our Christmas podcast if you have no idea what we were just talking about.
That's right. Just know that, well, if anybody who's listened to the show, the regular show, knows that I'm a fan of outdoor illumination.
You certainly are.
That's
and
my
singing,
thing.
Apparently.
I love everything about the holidays.
You know, speaking of holidays, though, and you said fires outside. So we took down our 10-foot-tall Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And someone suggested to my girlfriend, well, you should use it as firewood.
Okay.
So I'm surprised you don't know about this. Do you know how a Douglas fir pine tree burns?
Very rapidly.
Extremely.
Yeah.
Like we're talking like flash fire.
Yeah.
So
like the scene in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh.
When the tree just
Yeah, it's been forever. Yeah, no, that's not special effects. We mentioned this to my parents, and my dad immediately says, do not do this.
Yeah,
there is sap in that tree. It will ruin your fireplace. It will just be the worst. So, of course, what do? We experiment. So we now have a 10-foot-tall tree sitting on our balcony, just sitting there.
Right.
And we have a saw, and the plan was cut it up in a firewood.
Where did you get a saw?
Borrowed it from the guy whose neighbor yelled at us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But... Yeah, so listener, careful with those trees.
And you're giving a lot of tips to the listener.
I was paranoid before about a tree bursting in a flame.
Right.
But now that I've seen how quickly, I mean, my girlfriend stuffed the fireplace with a bunch of it and lit it on fire.
Is she a pyro? What's going on with
Kinda.
Her?
It was a blaze, a huge blaze, and totally burned out in less than 6 or 7 minutes.
And now the inside of your chimney is coated with gunk.
Maybe.
You need one of those logs, those creosote logs.
I like those logs.
Yeah, the cleaning logs.
Yeah, but these – so now I don't know what – so now I guess we're just going to – I don't know what we're going to do. She may keep burning things. I don't know.
Maybe she's burning stuff now while you're here.
Probably.
You better hope it doesn't shoot up the outside, catch the foam dragon on fire.
Foam dragon will be fine.
Yeah, that's
– foam dragon will be fine.
That's what you say. That's what you think.
Wow.
All right. Whatever. Whatever. So was that that what you needed to know?
That was it.
How we do about noise?
Noise, yeah.
And what you should burn?
That was it. Yeah, it's your turn.
No, it doesn't have to be my turn. There's no turn.
Thank you for patiently listening.
I'm waiting. I'm hoping you have more. I like when you bring up things.
I mean, I have other things to talk about. There's other interests I have in my life.
Well, did you plan on using any of those tonight?
I could.
Go ahead.
It's up to you.
That's fine.
When we tweeted the photo tonight,
yes,
of us preparing for the show, for the podcast.
Yeah, we tweeted tonight's photo because you posted last time's photo.
Yes.
Which was fun.
Yes. My hair, objectively, right now, as of this moment, looks terrible.
Okay.
It's longer and My girlfriend loves it long.
Really?
I, on the other hand,
that's what she said? No, wait.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. You've had some different stylistic choices in the past. Maybe not with your hair, but certainly with your...
Oh, my facial hair.
Your
sure.
facial hair.
No, I've basically had the same haircut for... Wow. Almost 30 years. That's sad.
Did you have shoulder length hair in college?
No.
Please tell me.
I did at one point. No, I had longer hair in... I had longer hair like... Maybe down to my shoulders in like high school and stuff. And then I had the whole big feathered back part down the middle and feathered back with the blow dryer and the big brushes, like, you know, Saturday Night Fever kind of deal. And then, then it was always just, then there was a period where it was short on the sides and spiky and I gel it like crazy. So it stood straight up like a toilet brush.
Like a razor head.
Yeah, kind of like a razor head.
Like I used to do.
Yeah. And then for some reason, I decided I was going to go with my first crew cut. And then I thought, well, and I started losing my hair a little. And so I stayed with the short. And now I go even kind of shorter.
Yeah. So you go very short.
I go very short.
Is it a number two?
It's a number one on the sides and like a 1.5 on the top.
Wow.
Yeah, I go tight. So, you know why? Because I don't have to worry about it. And I can put on a hat, like a winter, my knit cap. I never have to worry about hat hair. I don't have to worry about anything. It is the most low maintenance, and I know. And plus, I've been married 25 years. Who am I trying to impress? My wife doesn't mind it. I'm not trying to pick up other ladies. Because, listen, quite frankly, the hair was never what got the ladies. The hair was never the calling card.
So then why did you experiment with your facial hair in the past?
Because I could. So I was bored.
But you could have done that with your hair on top of your head.
No, because as I said, it started going back on the sides. I still have hair. I mean, right. You can see it. But it's a little thinner on top, and it was going back on the sides. Plus, it's very gray when it comes in now. And I always had a spot, two spots of gray. So even when it was, like there was a time where I just parted it to the side, and it would go back. And it always looked like I had spilled paint in my hair. And so when I would cut it short... If I went like this, you could see the gray spots, but that was it. And with the facial hair, it was just, I had a full beard for, you never knew me with a full beard.
Mm-mm.
I had a full beard for a while after college. Then I shaved again. And then I've gone through periods where I've just, you know, done some things. Went with the soul patch, the goatee, the Fu Manchu, the Hitler, the,
You did the Hitler?
No, I didn't do that.
I was going to say, I've never seen you in that mustache.
That was when I first started here. I did the Hitler. That's why they put me in overnight. So they're like, dude, you can't work in the daytime with a Hitler. I said, really? What about a landing strip? Because all my crazy hair, I experiment with.
Yeah. you threw me off guard with that
I
one
know
for
I did.
A second.
That's what I like to do.
Yeah, well, you said you can't experiment with gray hair. I mean, you could pull a Dumbledore. You just get it all
just long
waist length and grow a huge beard. And
I'll be honest. There's a part of me that thinks a really old guy, and I'm not a really old guy yet, but there's a point where you stop having long hair. Unless you're David Crosby, you don't really need the long hair at some point. How many times? Plus, when your hair, like if I had really thick hair, I would have it out. Like if I had, I don't know, who Rob Lowe hair, all right? Bringing Rob Lowe back because I watched The Grinder before I came in to do the podcast tonight. Call back to last time. Anyway, if I had hair like that, I would, you know, I would have kept it full and beautiful. And like my one brother, Michael, has the best hair of the family. Well, because the youngest two have shaved their heads because their hair is gone. Number two, my brother Dennis has pretty good hair. But Michael has the best hair. It's really thick. In full, and he for a long time had it long, and he would tie it back in a ponytail, and he looked good with the ponytail, so much so that when we were getting married, Debbie was begging him to leave it long, because I think secretly she likes long hair, but she won't say that because she knows I could never really grow real long hair, so she keeps that. That's her private little thing, which I should have known, because a lot of times she'll make me put on a Thor wig.
I was going to ask why you walked in with that a couple times.
Yeah, I forget to take it off.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the afterglow and I just leave the house.
I thought you were cosplaying.
I could cosplay.
Really poorly because you're wearing, you know,
a regular
shirt.
Clothes. Yeah, regular clothes and then a Thor wig.
Well, you do carry around a hammer. You carry around Mjolnir.
Sure I do. I never can pronounce that.
Mjolnir?
Is it Mjolnir, really?
It's Mjolnir.
I always want to say Majlinar.
That is not accurate.
I know it's not accurate, but I look at it and I could never pronounce it. Thor's big hammer.
Well, I ask about the
hair. Yes, why do you ask about the
hair? The entire onus of this conversation.
Wow. The onus is on you to bring out the point. Let's go.
If I may, is...
If I may. Nope. Shut it down. Next topic.
Well, I will. Anyway, regardless of that... Permission. What?
Nothing. Just put the words in a sentence. Don't just throw out random words.
Why start now?
I don't know,
Brian.
So what about the hair?
What do you do? Do you do your hair the way you do for yourself or for other people? And I've had this conundrum before because in college,
yes,
freshman year, I reached the point where I had shoulder length hair. And I
am feeling very deja vu-ish about this conversation.
Have we talked about this on the show?
Oh, boy, we talked about it somewhere, but go ahead.
It would have been a long time ago because for years, when I got my last headshots taken in 2011 or not recently enough, my agent and the casting agent say you got to kind of look like your headshot. So
right.
If your hair and your headshot is really short and you walk into an audition with shoulder-length hair, that's going to make the casting directors not happy.
Right, exactly.
So for years, I'm going to say the past 5 years or so, I essentially, with a little wiggle room, kept my hair the same length because of my headshot.
Yeah, you went a little Mad Men for a while, which was a nice
I did,
sure.
Right? So I experimented a lot more in the last 6 to 7 months because I wasn't auditioning as much,
right,
and all that. Well, now that my agent's gotten in touch with me again and I'm thinking about new headshots, now I want to pick a style that works,
yeah,
for me. But my girlfriend says she likes my long hair.
Oh.
I like my hair shorter.
Okay.
I like when I can spike it up. I like the eraser head look. And I kind of like somewhere in the middle. I like the Mad Men thing.
Yeah.
I like a medium. But I have this conundrum in college. I'm not the one that has to look at my hair. If
true,
my girlfriend, or if girls in general, if I'm a single guy, if girls dig me when I've got medium length hair, but I like it short, then why wouldn't I keep it medium to pick up chicks? How important is it that you look in the mirror and you think, wow, he's a stud? Because if you're the only one that thinks you're a stud, that doesn't really do anything for anybody. But at the same time, it's who you are.
Right.
It's like getting a tattoo or not. You're the one choosing how you're presented. So I'm in this kind of quandary. Right,
yeah.
Now.
It's I'm the wrong guy to ask because I pick a style and stick with it. And the reason I've stuck with it this long is, one, I thought it, for acting and comedy and stuff, it fit. Plus, I was a big fat guy. So a big fat guy with a crew cut, that got me. That look got me commercials and different things like that. Plus, I always kind of liked the low maintenance of it. I didn't have to blow dry. But I would still put stuff in it and make sure it was up. You got to get a cut every couple weeks instead of every couple months because you got to, if you're going to have a haircut like this, you got to maintain it.
Would you cut it yourself?
No.
Really?
No, I had... In the past 20, let's see, I've been married to Debbie 20, so let's say almost in the past 28 years, I've had, on a regular basis, two barbers. I had a barber. I've had to get different cuts here and there, but in general, I'm on my third barber now only because my last barber finally retired. I went to the same guy for years before we moved to California. I went to California and panicked because I didn't have a barber. So I stopped a couple guys at the mall who had nice looking flat tops. And I said, listen, I know this is weird. I just moved out here from Chicago. Where did you get your haircut? And because I had that same haircut, they understood because I know this sounds stupid. It's really hard to get it's really easy to get a bad crew cut or flat top.
Really?
It could be all uneven. It could be like one side could be higher than the other. Guys, there's butchers out there. Hair butchers.
Wow.
Just like a regular haircut. You could go to a bad barber, get a bad haircut. So
yeah.
So they told me, and I found Simon in Canyon Country. So I started going to Simon, and I went to him the whole time I was in California. Then I moved back, and I was like, you know what? I'm going back to Paul. And so I would drive, it was a 20-minute drive to the barbershop. So every 3 weeks I would call Paul, make an appointment, go over. And then last May, I walked into his shop and everything was off the wall. And I'm like, dude, are you remodeling? And he's like, nope, today's my last day. And he'd been talking about retiring for like a year. And I was like, what? He goes, yeah, it's my last day. I'm done. I only stayed open today because you were on the books. I was like, oh, man.
What?
Yeah, so he's gone. And then I was like, oh, my God, where am I going to get a haircut? And I had always told him when he retired, I was going to shave my head. I decided not to. But I found this old guy near my house only because I'm driving down Oak Park Avenue and I see this little barbershop and there's a handwritten sign in the window, wanted new customers. And I'm like, let me see. So I go in one day and I say, hey, man, how are you? And he's old. This guy's old. So he'll be retiring soon. Because you can't find young guys who give good. But I have noticed. All right. So I walk in. I go, hey, do you do flat tops or crew cuts? Because technically I have a crew cut now. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, I'll come in, you know. And I went in the first time. And you remember my head used to be a little more squared off.
Yeah.
So I tried to explain it to him the first time. And he cut it more round like this.
Yeah.
And I went home and I was like, huh. And this is all coming back to your story or your question. And I was like, huh, I kind of like the look of it. And I like the way it feels. And so I'm going to go with it. And then I asked Debbie and Molly, and they are noncommittal or afraid to tell me the truth or whatever. And they're like, no, it looks good. And I was like, all right, well, if they think it looks good. And, you know, so my thing is I do it. I cut my hair like this for me because I think it fits me. I like the way it looks. I don't think anymore with longer hair because of the way my hair is going back and that I don't think I'd look good with longer hair.
Right. I got to ask, at what point in the weight loss process did you get this new stylist, barber?
Oh, the new guy?
Sure.
That was just since May, since this May.
Oh, okay. So you were already new Brian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
New me had been around for a while. And it's funny, the old barber, Paul, after I lost all the weight and he was like, yeah, man, I remember you were squeezing into my chair, you know, because I was squeezing into that barber chair.
Yeah.
And now I was, you know, slinking down. But even when I lost, I actually think it looks better. This style looks better on me now that I've lost the weight because I don't have so much head coming out. Call Nick DiGilio. There's your out of context quote. I look back at old pictures of myself, and when I would get a fresh haircut, it almost looked like somebody had taken a baby's hair and set it on this giant head. And now my head and my hair kind of are symmetrical. Yeah. It matches.
That's interesting for several different reasons.
One that I put that much thought into it?
Dozens of different reasons.
Yeah, go ahead. Psychoanalyze.
You know what? No, I actually was going to – I need to be psychoanalyzed.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned you've gone to guys.
Yeah.
So for my entire life up until, let's say, 2 months ago, I had never gotten a haircut that I liked ever from a male.
Really?
Didn't matter what kind of male. Tall, short, gay, straight, black, white, whatever – no male of any type had ever given me a haircut I liked.
Did you go to barbershops, salons, all of the above?
All of the above, wherever. Right. Sometimes I went to a
Supers cut.
Sometimes it was a $10 cut. Sometimes it was a $20 cut. Sometimes I'd go to an upper boutique-y, pay $30 for a cut. It didn't matter. Nowhere in Des Moines, Iowa, or Rockford, Illinois, or Chicago, or anywhere did I get a good haircut that I liked from a guy.
Okay.
So now I go to the same salon. I got a stylist that I liked, and she's been on maternity leave for a few months. And her replacement, she's like, well, there's a girl I'm referring my customers to, and I got a cut from her, and I didn't really care for it.
Okay.
So the last time I went in, I said, hey, can you get me, you know, somebody else or whatever? And they go, oh, well, they got this guy. I don't remember his name, Ken or Alex or something. And it was a guy, and I felt weird saying this, and I said, well, do you have any girls available? Because I've never got – but at that point, you have to explain why.
Yes. Yeah, it can't be just, I don't want to do
Because I don't want to be this creepy,
right,
who, or homophobic. I get my haircut in Boys Town.
Yes, that would have screamed right, homophobic.
Exactly.
I don't want a guy touching my head.
And it's not that. Like, yeah, it's not exactly. It's not like that. So I had to be. So this is a weird quirk I have, but I actually have never gotten a good haircut from a male. It's not about. And then I immediately feel like the weird, creepy guy that wants a girl touching his head.
Yeah, you're the guy who goes to one of those hair places where the stylists are all dressed scantily.
A hair/massage parlor.
Yeah.
So I walk out, and I kind of like the cut. I don't love it. I actually kind of pretty much liked it. And I walked out, and I said, okay, I can get into this. Well, I get home, and my girlfriend says, I like this haircut better than any haircut you've ever gotten from your regular stylist.
Oh, no.
I know. So now when she comes back, I mean, I can't not be her client, and I can't go to another person at the same salon.
No, that would be awkward.
No, that'd be
horribly awkward.
I've been with this girl for like 3 or 4 years.
It'd be like breaking up with a girl and then dating her roommate.
Exactly.
That would be horrible.
So I can't do that. It's not an option. Now, she's still on leave, and I'm going back to the guy Saturday to get...
Yeah, get as many cuts as you can before she comes back.
Well, I guess, but I liked the way she cut my hair.
Here's the thing. Is your girlfriend with you only because of your hair?
No.
All right. Then tell her to lighten up. But it's nice that... Listen, I know her mom's listening. It's nice that she has opinion. It's nice that you care about it. But when it comes out, what do you think it looks best? Because that's the thing. If you think it looks best, then you're going to feel confident about it. You're not going to worry about it. You know, I don't think about my hair ever.
But I'm going to feel confident about it if I come home and my girlfriend says, hey, that's hot. Especially in that voice. Hey, that's hot, Kennedy.
Yeah, really. It's like, wow. Who are you dating?
Apparently,
Popeye?
1930s radio announcer.
I guess I've never... I do remember having hair and wanting my hair to look nice. Or more hair than I do remember wanting my hair to look nice when I was younger. And I did it, I guess, to try to... Because it's part of the whole thing. You know, if your hair looks good, you're dressed now, you feel good, you attract the ladies. No, I don't care. You know, honestly, I don't like it to get shaggy. I like it to, you choose a style and you have to maintain it however you do it. But I don't do it for anybody else. I do it for me because I like this haircut. And so, you know.
And that's why you did the facial hair experimentation for you.
No, I did. Yes, for me. But I also took input that I took more input from Debbie than on my head.
Why is that?
Because that's easy to change. And like there was a while in L.A. when I had a goatee that I was, you know, using just for men to darken it because my beard comes in about 7 different colors. It's red, it's gray, it's black, it's brown. It's like a calico cat dropped dead on my face. It comes in all crazy different colors. Now when I let myself go a couple days between shaving, it's mostly white. So I could grow out a white, like a crazy chin thing and go a kind of, who were the wrestlers that had the crazy long chin beards?
The Headbangers?
Maybe.
Or the Bushwhackers.
The Bushwhackers.
The Bushwhackers.
Maybe I go Bushwhacker. Take it down to Lou Albano. Put some rubber bands in it, braid it up.
Oh, God, that's so... No.
That would be so gross.
Oh, no, I'm not into that.
Yeah, me either. But...
not that my opinion matters, because I don't care how you look. Either.
Well, I obviously. But but with her, I was like, what do you think? And she liked it. She liked the goatee, even when I didn't dye it, when it was like... Because remember, it was like gray, almost if you took your thumb and your forefinger and put it on your chin. There were two big gray spots there. She kind of liked that. She didn't care much for the Fu Manchu. I don't blame her. She didn't like the soul patch.
Are girls into those?
No.
Well, girls like soul patches.
Yeah, but I didn't. Again, because my face was so giant, I tried to make the soul patch fit. So the soul patch was too big, I think, and then it was really long.
It was more
and
like a squirrel.
Yeah, I didn't know what the hell I was doing with the soul patch. Mm. And then, I never did the handlebar. Like, the guy who used to work here, Scott Miller, who's like a champion mustache guy, he's got the crazy handlebar that he waxes and spins around. I never did that. But, and there was a point where I just had a mustache. This was back after college. That wasn't a good look because I didn't have the Tom Selleck. Then I had a full head of hair, though. I had the full head of hair, came down almost to my shoulders, and the mustache. But my mustache always came in two parts. You know, where right under the nose, there was hair, but there wasn't a lot of hair. So it looked like I had two caterpillars who were trying to merge under my nose.
They're trying to mate on your face?
Yeah, but they couldn't. They never could quite. There was something keeping them apart.
So you looked at your face, and there was always sexual tension.
Yes.
Anytime anybody looked at your face.
Sure, that's how it is now.
That's true.
There's always sexual tension.
I was wondering what that feeling was.
Yeah, you know what it is.
No, that was revulsion.
All right.
It's revulsion.
So yeah, now, so what are you going to do? Are you going to give in? Are you going to do what your lady wants? Is that going to be your play to always let her dictate to you how you dress and what you wear and what you look like? Is that your taking out your spine? Is that what you're telling me?
I have the ultimate go-to, and that is that and this is actually true. I don't think I can package myself to my agent as a...
So what do you consider your hair now?
Right now it's dirty college student, dirty hippie.
So long. So it's on. Right now, it's longer than you want.
It's getting well. You know, I wanted the opportunity to grow it out because again, I kept it so similar for so many years,
right.
And the last few months, I'm like, what the heck? Let's go long. But it's not working.
Okay,
it's in my eyes, and I got to push it out, and it's I don't know what it's doing, and it's too much.
Yeah, you're not a 22-year-old slacker anymore.
No. And now for acting, I'm going for young dad territory.
Oh,
my agent
right.
said I could see as a young dad, and there's lots of roles for that.
Yeah.
So I need to get a little more clean cut.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll go Mad Men again, but I'll go in between.
Yeah, you can, you know, and there's always, if you keep it that in between, can't you do different things with it? Depending on the mood,
mm-hmm.
and if she wants you to do something crazy?
Yeah.
Or just get extensions.
Thought about that?
Just get one of those, get a man, fake man bun. Throw it up there.
Mm.
Go fake ponytail. Get one of those hats with the dreadlocks that hang off it.
I just had a conversation with somebody about man buns.
If you ever came in here in a man bun, it would be your last night working here. Because I would grab you by that man bun, and I would use it as a handle to slam your head, American History X-wise, right off the counter.
Wow.
That's right. I wouldn't mess around. And now that I've hit the counter, I'm getting a weird buzz in my headphones.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I broke something.
Studio's very resilient.
Yeah, everything's very delicate.
Yes.
Very, very delicate. All right, do you want to – so you're going to brand yourself as this young dad, so now you're going to have to tell your lady, listen, honey, if it's all about the hair, you got to make a decision. It's me or your fantasies about the guy with a big bushy head.
And no job.
And no job.
Because I look unemployed right now.
Right, yeah.
I look like a hobo.
Yeah,
I mean,
kinda.
I usually kind of do, but
no,
I really
I understand.
Do.
Well, it's you didn't dress up or do up your do to come in here today.
No, I came in a hoodie and a T-shirt with Mario on it.
Because you're street.
It's street.
All right, do you want to go to this thing that you did on Facebook?
Yeah, let's take listener requests.
Listener requests. All right,
listener requests.
First, let's deal with this because this has to be dealt with right now. And I wish we could get him on the phone or he was here and I'd tell him. Let's just say this at the outset. We love Roger Badish, but sometimes he's a pain in the rear end.
I love
Roger Badish. I'm going to reiterate that so no one misunderstands it. I love Roger. We're glad his health issues seem to be behind him, thank God. And we love when he's back on the show because he's fun. He's a goofy, fun guy. We love having him around.
I don't ever think he's a pain in the rear end. I feel like what you just did was like a no offense, but.
No.
Which immediately.
That's not true. We tease Roger all the time.
That's true.
The three of us have a long history.
We go way
of
back.
Many, many overnights together.
We've spent the night together.
Many, many nights.
That's.
So Cody posts earlier today on the day we were recording the podcast. We're going back into the studio for the web exclusive podcast, blah, blah, blah. Any topic requests, something you haven't heard on the podcast that you'd like us to discuss. And the second posting is from Roger. Why Badish isn't there? And then he throws a couple smileys on there.
Several smileys,
but let's be honest. He doesn't mean the smileys. He means the first part.
You sure?
Why isn't Badish on here?
Well.
And that's true. He's welcome anytime, but we never know this until the last minute. That's when we decide to do the podcast.
Well, this particular, for right now, this is a short run. I mean,
right.
Next week is our potentially last.
Yeah,
we don't know.
We're in discussions, and you can let us know, too. If you like the podcast along with the regular show, we'll take that under consideration.
So we figured we'd just do a handful of...
To keep us happening during the hiatus.
Yeah, but actually we would totally have Roger on.
Oh, yeah.
If we continue to do this podcast ad nauseum.
Right. If this became a regular thing, then we would start having some guests in. Like last time we had a surprise guest, Jeff Carlin from the Rokan Show wandered by. If Roger were here in the building, then we would have him on. But we're not having guests on the podcast.
Yeah.
Unless they just stumble in.
I mean, I don't book for the terrestrial show.
Right, exactly. So why would we book for this? Because then somebody else jumped in. Yeah, you guys got a beef with Roger Badish? No, we do not have a beef with Roger Badish. So is that clear enough? We love Roger. And we had actually talked about one time having, if the podcast were to continue, having our old news guys both on.
Yeah, that's true.
Roger and Christopher, that would be fun.
Yeah.
To have them back in. You want to do another one?
Yeah, Everett Themer, which, can I just say that's an awesome last name?
It is.
Themer. Can you explain why buying light bulbs got both confusing and expensive?
Well, Everett, it's because of the advent of LCD bulbs.
LED.
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 See, I'm confused.
LCD TVs.
TVs, LED light bulbs.
That made television buying complicated.
Everything about television buying is complicated. Back when I bought my, what is mine? It's where the lights, the mirrors spin around. DLR, something
DSLR?
Like that.
DSLR?
No, I can't remember. It's the big, the high def, but it's the Samsung thing. I don't think they make this anymore. Something light technology. Anyway, there's a bunch of mirrors that spin, I guess. And there's a bulb, big bulb, and it spins on the mirror, and that's what lights it up. I think DLR. No, that's... Yeah, DLR.
I don't even know what you're talking about. But I never really got into TVs until
I
got one.
Yeah, I mean, and then there was plasma, which doesn't... I don't think plasmas
don't think
are around anymore.
Thing, no.
And now it's all LCD.
LED.
No, LED are the light bulbs.
But there's a difference between an LCD and an LED TV.
They're both LCD and LED TVs?
Yeah, I did extensive research on this when I bought my LED TV.
Okay.
An LED has more resolutions than the LCDs.
Wow.
Is that right?
I don't know.
LED versus LCD. If you Google it, which is now a verb, then it's a thing.
What's the difference between LCD and LED HD TVs?
An OLED? Did you have a DLP or an
DLP,
OLED?
That's it. DLP.
DLP.
Direct light something, yeah.
Diamond Lalas Page.
No.
I think that's what it...
That's DDP. That's the yoga.
Nah, I don't know.
That I got to start doing because you've been doing it.
So an LED TV is an LCD TV.
Right. That's an LED is light emitting diode, LCD liquid crystal display.
Clearly.
For kids at home, sure.
Clearly.
Suddenly we've turned into an electronic show. Ask the experts.
We got to get Lou Manfredini in
here.
Would
sure.
You
know? No, Lou's a... I don't think Lou knows electronics.
I think he might.
Lou knows a lot. Lou knows pretty much everything. If my LED or LCD TV had fallen and cracked my foundation, Lou would be the first guy I would call.
Well...
Or if I needed to replace the ceramic tiles under my TV stand, Lou in a second. Or if I had a really horrible dinner and my toilet needed fixing, Lou would be the first guy I'd call.
Well,
I don't know if Lou would be the first guy I called to help me make a TV choice.
He'd also probably know about light bulbs.
Oh, sure he would. And I just saw this, interestingly enough, this morning on, I think it was Channel 7 News. They were talking to Consumer Reports about cutting your electric bill, your power costs, because our power costs are exorbitantly high. And one of the things was changing from the incandescent light bulb to the LEDs, the new ones. Was it LCD? You know, the
maybe?
Light bulbs. Anyway, so they said because they use less power and they are supposed to last up to 20 years. Now, I've heard this and I have made the LED light bulbs. Yes. All right. So we would change from incandescent to LED light bulbs. Supposedly, they'll last 20 years. I have never had one last 20 years. I've had to replace LED light bulbs.
Really?
Yes. Maybe I buy cheap ones.
I've never lived in a place longer than a year or
right.
two, so I don't know.
So I have replaced them. I have tried to make the switch to all LED light bulbs. I don't know. I can't tell you that it's made a huge difference in my life. I do know they're more expensive.
And brighter.
Depends. Well, like any bulb, it depends on the wattage that you're pumping into your cottage. I do also know that when I made the switch in some can lights in my house, they don't, the old incandescent kind of mini spotlights would turn on right away. The LEDs take a few minutes, and I don't know if it's because of these particular fixtures that it takes a few minutes for them to reach full brightness.
A few minutes?
Yeah. Not always, not all, just in a few different ones. So maybe it's just the...
You're trying to power up the Death Star?
Yes, exactly.
That seems...
Some just flip right on.
Nah, it's excessive.
With the curly cues. Something's wrong. But I still have to use some incandescents in some other fixtures because I'm not...
Because you hate the environment.
Sure.
You don't care about the future.
Screw the planet.
Or climate change.
Kids,
you think it was invented by the Chinese.
No. Listen, the Chinese invented dim sum and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what they did with the climate.
Dim sum's delicious. Most Chinese food in America is actually American food that they just brand as Chinese food.
Is that right?
As I've heard that. I read that on the internet.
Kung Pao chicken, not Chinese?
Everything on the internet's true, so.
That can't be right.
It can't be wrong. It's on the internet.
I go to a place.
Watch Google.
It has been selling Chinese food since the 50s.
Food Chinese. I just Googled it.
Well, what are Chinese people eating then?
Look at that. The audacious Korean-American chef who mastered Mission Chinese food. That's from NPR. That seems irrelevant.
So anyway, back to the back
American Chinese cuisine, known in the U.S. as Chinese food, is the type of food developed by Americans of Chinese descent and served in many North American restaurants. This is from Wikipedia, which is never... wrong.
All right.
I'm telling you, man.
All right, so that's why, didn't the answer confuse you? That's why it's gotten so crazy and so expensive. Because LED lights are more expensive at the outset, but they're supposed to last you longer, which in turn then will lower the overall cost of the bulb, save, and also they use less energy, so they're saving you money on energy, but they know... You can, though, find them inexpensively, which is probably why mine burn out in quicker than 20 years, because I buy them at Walmart, And last time I bought bulbs, I bought a ton, because for some reason, the 60-watt bulbs, the LED bulbs at Walmart, in their Great Value brand, which is the house brand at Walmart, because I'm a big spender, they were, trying to get rid of them. So they had priced them down to almost nothing. And I was like, huh, well, this sounds like... Again, maybe that's why they're burning out.
Seems suspicious. Because
I'm buying clearance bulbs. It's like buying it's like buying speakers from a guy in a mall parking lot.
Yeah.
Out of the back of a van. Then you're going to get the same kind of high quality. So there's the answer to that question. What do you think about that?
Thanks for the question.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Everett Themer. We appreciate it.
I don't know if we were supposed to, if this is kind of like an Ask Brian Anything where you just kind of make it up, or if this is...
Well, that was based in fact...
It doesn't have to be.
I know, but,
or does it?
I don't know.
It's your show.
Right, but I figure a guy asks a question. I mean, there's other things. Megan wants to know about unicorns.
Well, unicorns are real.
Nah. All I know is a song. Unicorns were playing their silly games. They didn't get on the ark. And that's why you never see no unicorns.
Is that a song?
You got no green alligators. You don't know that song?
Uh-huh.
The Humpty Back Camels, the chimpanzees, the cats, the rats, the elephants. As you're born, you're never going to see no unicorn.
Is that another Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song?
No, it's not Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Everybody knows the green alligator song.
Yeah.
It was the theme for The Ark in the Park, which was a feature on the Ray Rayner Show with Lester Fisher from the Lincoln Park Zoo. I love when you tilt your head like a dog. and it's a big, anytime a lot of Irish people get together and get drunk, that song comes on. I don't know why. And you do the dance. The green alligator, the long neck geese, the whole dance.
Oh, I know that dance.
Yeah, that's the dance. That's the song. The Humpty Back Cow and the chimpanzees.
All right.
The cats and rats and elephants.
There is some edutainment being dropped. I wish that you, listener, could be in the studio watching Brian do the dance right now. The people on Michigan Avenue are probably looking in like a zoo, like we are in a zoo.
That's right.
Which is what they do anyway.
So there are no unicorns because they were goofing around when Noah was loading up the ark, and they're screwed. So I know that term has come back into vogue, though, hasn't it? Unicorns? Like a one-of-a-kind thing. People are calling things unicorns. Is that a
fun
thing?
I'm not supposed to say fun fact again? I was going to say fun fact.
Fun fact. Cody's going to say fun fact again.
Allow me to drop a fact on your face.
Wow.
Specifically there.
All right. A big steaming fact on my face?
Unicorn is a term for a girl who is willing to have a three-way with a heterosexual couple.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Unicorn is a terminology.
Because they're so hard to find?
In
is
the
that
swinger
why?
Scene for a single, attractive, young female who's willing to join a three-way with a heterosexual couple.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Don't ask me how I know that.
I just feel a vapor coming on.
And I'm going to Urban Dictionary.
Why are you Urban Dictionary?
Just to verify this, because I want to make sure that I didn't. Oh, here we go. Yeah, I was right.
Is that right?
Oh, actually, it's often derogatory. Well, that's unfortunate.
That is unfortunate. That should be unfortunate.
Urban Dictionary specifically says, actually, a bisexual person, usually though not always female, who's willing to join an existing couple, often with the presumption that the person will date and become sexually involved with both members of that couple, and not demand anything or do anything which might cause problems or inconvenience to that couple.
Wow.
So, yeah.
All right.
Often used to be dismissive of the couple, seen only to be superficially polyamorous.
Well, maybe that's what Megan is. Maybe that's what Megan is talking about. She didn't care at all about the dance. She was like, "Hey, hello." Maybe she's dropping a little. I don't know. A hint? Could she be dropping a hint on us? Let me look at her picture. Well, I don't know. We'll see. Good for you, Megan. That boy, talk about open, expanding knowledge here.
Wow,
Roger wishes he was here now.
I was way better at answering that question than I probably should have been.
Yeah, how did you know that just right away? What's going on under the big dragon?
I'm a man of many knowledge.
Is it the hair? Is that how you get the threesome going? It
just tells me.
With your flowing locks? You go ahead, you just shake it in slow motion? Hello. And oh, then the unicorn prances up. Because they prance up. They have hooves. I was a Foley artist there for a minute.
What?
You like that?
That's very impressive.
That was oh, man, I have a lot of talent.
Can we get a Wilhelm scream in here next episode?
Wow. Just the picture?
No, a Wilhelm scream. Have you heard the Wilhelm scream?
No.
Oh, man, I'm dropping so much knowledge on this episode.
You are.
There's
Bring
a whole documentary on it, the Wilhelm scream, which I'm also going to Google, and I'm sure will have a specific...
Does this have to do with threesomes, too?
No, I saw a documentary on this. It's on YouTube. Search for Wilhelm scream. The Wilhelm scream is a scream that was used as stock audio in a movie years and years ago.
Okay.
I don't remember the first instance, but it became kind of an in-joke among Foley artists, among sound design guys, to use it in many movies. It is used in, I believe, all of the Star Wars movies.
Okay.
Or at least the original trilogy. It's used in lots of really famous...
Toy Story looks like it's used in.
Yeah, if you search for Wilhelm...
Well, do you have it playing? Because you can bring it up on the board.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I've got the...
I'm looking at a YouTube video, a tribute to the many screams of Wilhelm.
I've got the Wilhelm scream compilation.
Right.
It's going to play it a bunch of times.
That's all right. Just give us a couple.
But here we go. Charge at Feather River.
I'm looking at
it. Someone's going to get shot. There it is. It's this like, Yeah,
like
basically.
That?
Yeah, so that's there. There's 1954. But here we go. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Okay, at the end of a thing, Star Wars, Indiana Jones and Star Wars movies. It was in Temple of Doom. It was quieter.
Is it Spaceballs?
It's in Spaceballs. Definitely in Spaceballs.
Yep.
Howard the Duck.
Really?
Yeah, it's in tons of movies, but it's in a ton of movies. It's called the Wilhelm Scream.
All right.
And it was kind of an inside joke among sound design guys, I guess. But that was the reference I was making. What was the Wilhelm you thought?
That was Munch is the scream, the painting.
Yeah, I was saying
that's Munch, not Wilhelm.
All right. Yeah.
I just heard scream. I always think of the painting. And not the bad horror movies, which were...
Wait, you're the... Now I'm the Foley artist, because I'm dropping Wilhelm screams all up in here.
Oh, there's a lot going on.
How all right, do I so know that was, any of these things?
I don't know.
You don't usually on our radio show, you make 1,000 references and I don't know them, and then right. you berate me for being a millennial and a hipster and
sure, well,
not knowing
some old man that I don't know about threesomes with unicorns.
We start doing podcasts and suddenly I know all this weird obscure knowledge that you've never
Well, the unicorn thing I did not know.
You've never needed to know.
True. Because one, I'm not looking for a threesome. Two, I wouldn't even know how to go about looking for a threesome. A unicorn would actually have to wander into our room during an intimate moment and dive into bed. And then I would go, oh, what's happening here? That's the only way. I've never understood how people do that. I don't know how, you know, you're out at a bar with your lady or your man or your two men, whatever your significant other, and what's the mechanics of that, of getting somebody to jump in as a third wheel? Where does that happen? Are there certain bars that I don't know about? Is it a vibe that you give off? I do think, though, I was propositioned for one once.
I think you told this story, maybe.
You think?
No, maybe.
Probably not. It's probably not a terrestrial story that I would have told.
We get sorted on the podcast.
Well, we could get a little more. So I'm not going to get sorted. It wasn't happening because I was on the road and I was somewhere in Indiana, central Indiana, and I can't remember what town. I think it might have been French Lick, but that I think I'm saying that just for the story. No, it was Terre Haute. That's where it was.
Ah, oh, those Terre Hauteans.
And the reason I associated it with French Lick is because I did the show at the Larry Bird Hotel, because he went to Indiana State in Terre Haute. He was the Hick from French Lick, Larry Bird, the basketball player.
Was that his nickname?
Yeah, the Hick from French Lick.
Are we allowed to say that phrase?
Hick?
Sounds wrong.
No, it's fine.
I know we are.
We're fine.
But it sounds dirty.
It's not. French Lick?
No, the Hick
that's
from
French Lick. Oh, the Hick
that
from French
Lick. That sounds dirty. You throw the whole thing together, it's very...
No. So anyway, do the show, and the guy I'm working with and I go out to a local tavern. And there were some people there from the show, and one of them was a couple. And we start talking, and the more we're talking, the woman is just saying things that I didn't quite get. And I can't remember all the details, but at one point they were like, there was something like, well, aren't you getting the hint? And I was like, what, huh? And I wasn't because I had been drinking. And I'm not looking to be part of a threesome. It was weird. But then after they left, I'm back at the hotel and I went, hey, wait a minute. I think I was just being propositioned. And thankfully that I just ate a pizza and went to sleep.
Yeah.
Because that's what I used to do on the road. I would just, after the show, I would have a number of beers, then eat a copious amount of food and loll my big fat giantness into bed.
Yeah.
And then have heartburn and sleep apnea because the fat was strangling me.
That is horrifying.
It's a horrifying picture.
I see old pictures of you and I don't even recognize it.
Yeah, it's a different guy. But that fat guy got propositioned for a threesome, allegedly, in Terre Haute.
Hey,
I don't know if it happened.
Why not?
Yeah, they were chubby chasers down there. They wanted a big fat berry unicorn. And I don't know, maybe it was one of those things where he just wanted to watch, you know, his lady with the, you know.
A cuckold situation.
Perhaps, I don't know.
A cuckold.
I don't even know what that means. But back to the thing, how do you go out? Like, all right, not that you and your lady would ever be looking for something like this, but what would you, just go to a regular bar? How does that work?
There are, and I've not been to any, honestly, I've not been to any,
okay.
But there are swingers parties where they have swingers and... They go and they've got, there's key parties is a thing.
That's,
heard
that
of key
was a
parties,
thing in the 70s.
But
is it a thing now,
I
too?
Would presume, why wouldn't it be?
There was rumors that,
I love
is that,
that
a vacuum
someone,
cleaner?
I love
come in vacuum.
That someone has, I don't think the mics are picking it up, but there is a vacuum cleaner that right. Brian and I can hear.
It's like, what?
Right outside the studio.
Like bursting in. We got to clean.
That would be so funny.
Yeah.
That, and then we talk to the vacuum person.
Sure, then we talk to the maid. What do they call him? The housekeeper? Maintenance person? Custodian?
Custodian. I don't know. I don't. Janitor?
Cleaning person?
Is that right?
Cleaning person.
I don't want to be politically incorrect.
No, I'm not trying to be. I just...
No, not...
I always say cleaning person, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
When I refer to the ladies and the gentlemen who clean up in the Tribune Tower.
I don't know.
As a cleaning crew. But, oh, there was rumors that one of the subdivisions in the town we used to live in was rife with swingers. And because Debbie was working at a fundraiser, and somehow this subdivision came up, and everybody there was like, oh, yeah, you don't want to live there. A lot of swingers over there. And then we knew somebody was moving there. We're like, uh-oh, what's going on with it? Now, I never could confirm or deny that this was happening, but that's the rumor in that town, that if you live in this one subdivision, it's like Knott's Landing without pants. There's a lot of people knocking around down there.
Hey, man, you never know.
There's people
never
know
in the suburbs.
Yeah, I guess.
A lot of bored people in the suburbs.
A lot of time on their hands for the ladies who stay home, you know, the stay-at-home moms. Who and that town was full of them.
It's like the one show with Terry Hatcher.
Desperate Housewives.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Desperate Housewives.
Yeah. So, yeah, these, huh. And there were a lot of, which, okay, where were we? Oh, the unicorns.
Unicorns.
But it brought me to this, and we'll go back, I think we have a couple more questions. But speaking of the moms who stay home, and they would drop their kids off at school, and they'd all go to the gym. They're working out because, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because if you're going to be a swinger, I guess swingers can be whatever shape. Whatever you're into, that's your thing. But it led me to a study that I saw the other day, and it's a British study. But I think, I'm wondering how it happens here. I go to the gym every morning, and I go to the gym just to work out. This study from Britain said that half of regular gym goers use the gym as a hookup venue, and a quarter admit to having sex right at the gym. Have you ever, one,
half?
Tried to pick up? Half the people say they use the gym as a pickup place, and a quarter of the people say that they've had sex at the gym. Have you done either? I put it to you, Cody Goff.
I have never even made eye contact with a girl at a gym. Maybe once accidentally, yeah. But I'm sure that in my early 20s, I would have just immediately been frightened and laughed.
I can't see. I see the women who work out at 5 in the morning when I work out. And there are some attractive women there, but they're all working out. I could never, even if I was single, I couldn't imagine at 5 in the morning walking up to one of these women and trying to strike up a conversation like, hey, nice lats. You know, I'm not gonna drop that suave bola move on them. Hey, can I spot you? You know I did across the room. Good morning.
I have heard that the export in Old Town at North and Wells is a meat market.
Really?
And all people do is pick each other up there. But I've never been. And I can't. Here's how oblivious
I go to an export.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's not a meat. But I don't go at meat markety times. I go when people are trying to work out hard before they go to work.
Yeah, early morning. You know?
But I know it's crowded late. Maybe I'll go just for research purposes and see what's going on. Again, not that I'm the guy who's going to, you know, would ever be a target of that or would want to try to pick somebody up at the gym. I can't imagine just lingering. Like, there's not a bar at my export. There's not anywhere that you'd linger afterwards. So you'd have to walk up to somebody or strike up a conversation at the next treadmill. It says, another one of the findings, as many as 70% of women admitted to fantasizing about their personal trainer during sex. That's why I insisted that Debbie have a female personal trainer.
Good call.
Yeah, you must.
Wow.
Now, I've had a female trainer, and I've had a male trainer. Yeah. We'll leave it at that.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Does this study...
10% of those polls bring a condom to the gym just in case.
No, they don't.
That's what... It's here. It's science.
All right.
I've got it printed out.
Can I ask how much of that hooking up claims to be... of what orientation...
It doesn't break it down. It does not break if it's straight or gay.
I could see some all male gyms. Like if you're at a gym in Boys Town, because that makes sense, right? I mean, because
what are you saying?
Because all right, because a guy sees another sweaty guy, you know, whatever, and then they're in the locker room together and they're attracted to each other. It's more logistically sound. It's easier, right?
Sure.
It's easier than a guy being such an alpha guy that he can go up to a girl and be like, hey, I'm confident and I'm going to pick you up now. And then they find a place in the gym.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know where. I wouldn't even know where. Well,
I mean, gyms are pretty open places.
Yeah,
there aren't
but my
a lot of...
gym, my gym's got like a little spa room and some tanning rooms. Maybe you could go there.
All right, maybe in a spa room, but...
But yeah, even then, there's not... I'm trying to think if there's anywhere else private that you could go.
Exactly. There's no... This is what I'm saying, is I'm saying that logistically, the locker rooms... You
sure,
know, you've
okay.
got the men's locker room and the women's locker room,
sure,
I
sure,
suppose.
Sure, you could do that, yeah.
You know, guys that are more jacked up on testosterone, I could see that... possibly happening more, but I would imagine, yeah, that it's happening more in the same sex area.
Well, this seems to be focusing on heterosexual moves. It says previous research has shown that exercise boosts sex drives in both men and women. It also boosts endorphins, which leads to higher self-esteem and confidence. So people are all jacked up, they're feeling good about themselves, and they're getting it on.
See, and I used to lift pretty hard. I never had the confidence to then just go up to an attractive girl in the gym.
No, me either.
But I've never, I don't approach.
I like to stand at a distance and just look out of the corner of my eye and go, ooh, squats. That's what I like to do. Oh, look at that, squats.
Squats, huh?
Well, some of the ladies do a lot of squats. You know, it's fascinating to me that the Kardashian booty has become the ideal now. Because I see all the ladies in the gym working on their butts. They're all working on their butts. Trying to get, you know, they're all doing a lot of squats and leg work and lower body. All kind of butt things.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a good thing.
No, I'm not complaining. I just, it's, you know. And I see other, there's this one woman who's there. She's a couple of them, they're weightlifter women, you know. That's their thing. They're lifting. They're getting big.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a nice day. It's all fine.
Everybody's got their thing.
All right. Let me and I know this is complaining about people at the gym is kind of hacky, but I'm bothered by one particular weightlifter guy who likes to wear compression shorts, which I don't mind if they're under regular shorts. But if you're wearing just compression shorts and nothing else,
oh,
really, dude, tuck it away. Because and then he's loud too. He's one of these and he'll sing with his head and he lifts and he's this big. The guy is ripped. He is a monster, like your brother. I mean, but this guy is huge. But again, and maybe he's wearing them so he can see the definition in his legs. But one place that you don't get pumped when you're lifting. Is your groin region, you know, unless you're doing some kind of weird curl that I'm not, maybe that I don't know exists. There's a machine somewhere way in the back of the gym that you hook that up and you go, and then that gets all bicep-y too and veiny. But really, that's not right. Those are underwear. It'd be like me working out with just my tighty whities.
I don't know much about compression shorts.
You know what they are though, like the runner's tights, the really not yoga pants, but like the spandex shorts, the really tight compression.
Yeah,
shorts.
That end above your knees.
Well, he'll wear those, and he also wears the full leggings sometimes. Mm-hmm. And again. It's not like I'm fixated on it. Not like I'm, but if I'm sitting on a bench or working on a bench and he's right over my shoulder and I look in the mirror, because, you know, I like to gaze at myself when I'm getting ripped.
Yeah, who doesn't?
And there's his junk right at like head level. I'm like, ha! It's like there. It's my anaconda don't want none unless you got buns, son. It's right there. It's just. I threw some Sir Mix-a-Lot. I dropped that down there.
That happened.
It was weird. But I'm making a plea, I guess.
And you don't like when people are loud at the gym anyway, let alone when they then wear skin tight.
There's no need to be loud. If you want to be loud, that's on you. But I have so many complaints about the gym. I'm too rigid. Here's my problem. I like to do things exactly the same way every day. I don't like to today we happen to be recording on a Thursday. So Thursday's cardio day for me. So I like to go in. I go to the same area of the locker room, and today I was thrown off. I got mental problems. I try to go to the same locker every day.
You have a routine.
I have a routine, and when it's thrown off, I can adjust, but I don't want to. Let's put it that way. And So I, when I go in and this is happening and people are grunting and their junk is out and it's like, this is just not pleasant. And do you really, if you've got to yell that loud to pick something up, pick up something lighter. We have machines for this stuff now. I understand the allure of the perfectly chiseled body.
Yeah.
I will never have it, but I understand the allure of it. But if to do that, you have to stand at 5 a.m. and go, yeah! Really, dude, you're going to bust a nut. Just stop. I said bust a nut.
That's
as close as I've come. I've threatened to swear on this podcast. That's as close as I'm going
to
come.
Sure. My brother actually goes to two gyms, and he goes to one that's specifically for people that just scream. It's called the Asylum.
Oh, really? So it's a big powerlifter gym kind of thing?
Yeah, I feel like he said something like some glass broke or something, and they just never cleaned it up, so you just have to be careful not to step on like a crazy, just this crazy hardcore. Just,
oh, my
like,
God.
I think I made that part up, but it sounded cool.
And
I vaguely recall something about glass shattering.
The guy with the compression shorts also works out barefoot.
In the gym?
Just a sidebar? Yeah.
That's not sanitary.
No, it's horrendous.
So I'll go in the gym, in the big workout class group exercise room at my gym, and I'll do DDP yoga.
Right.
And you don't do yoga in shoes, but I'll leave my socks
on. Yeah.
And I'll just be on the mat, you know?
Yeah, no.
That's not sanitary.
He'll take it off. It's part of the thing, you know? You got everything out.
Although I shower without shower shoes.
And now he's hooked up with one of the girls who used to work at the counter, and she's kind of a bodybuilder girl too.
Yeah.
So they come in at the same time in the morning, 5. She doesn't yell. But she wears the tight compression clothes too, and maybe it's a double standard. I don't mind that. And sure, it's a double standard. I don't think, you know, this guy's dressed like a superhero, but even Captain America had trunks on. Superman wears trunks over his tights.
Yeah, but
all the superheroes wear trunks over their tights.
Not all of them.
They all do. What superhero doesn't? The Flash. He's not a superhero.
Doesn't the Flash? The DC Comics heroes are really into it. The Marvel heroes don't do it so much. Spider-Man doesn't do it. Fantastic Four doesn't do it. Thor doesn't do it, does he?
Thor wears pants.
Thor wears pants pretty much.
Yeah.
I think of the Avengers. Iron Man.
The Hulk wears pants. They're ripped up and short, but they're pants.
Hulk just wears pants, though.
Yeah.
And they're just purple. Pants.
Captain America has trunks over his tights.
No, he doesn't.
The red tie. The red trunks, doesn't he? I
don't think Captain America does. We could easily Google this, we're not going to. I'm done going. There's too much Googling.
A lot of Googling on this podcast.
Too much research on this podcast.
Yeah, can't we just talk?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's the whole gym thing.
But, well, there are two more questions.
Yes. Oh,
I don't
please.
Know how we really spiraled way out of the way from unicorns on that one.
We had to, because I think people were getting uncomfortable with me trying to figure out how to get a threesome going. That was, you know, when I've tried to get, you know, listen, we've been married a long time, honey. I was on the podcast today. That's why I go home tonight. This is me at home tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what we talked about on the podcast? What? Unicorns. Oh, that's cute. Like My Little Pony kind of stuff? No. Not at all. Unless My Little Pony is your nickname for the woman that's going to join us in the boudoir. And then I'd be calling you, dude, can I sleep under the dragon? That would be how it would go, because I would be tossed out.
See, and Urban Dictionary did vary a bit from the definition that I've heard. But
Do you trust? Is Urban Dictionary your go-to source?
Kinda.
All right. What's the next question?
Kinda, sorta. Next question is, somebody commented, I hope he lets you sit in the right chair, LOL.
Yeah.
We like to play musical chairs on this podcast a little bit.
Well, we've tweeted. You can find out tonight if I'm back in the chair I belong in, or if Cody is in the big chair again. So you can go to Twitter. It's Brian Noonan Show. We've tweeted out a picture.
I tweeted from @producerCody as well.
There you go.
What happened to your day job?
My day job or your day job?
Judy just asked, what happened to your day job?
Does Judy work for the IRS?
I don't know.
Judy, very nosy. Very inquisitive.
I don't know whose day. I would assume because it was on the Brian Noonan Show page, your day job.
My day job. Oh, the day when I,
We don't really talk about it. Who does care?
No, I don't work with my brothers anymore. It ended on good terms. Everybody's happy. No hard feelings. It wasn't for me. The financial world is not for me. I'm not a guy who can sit at a computer for hours and hours and just talk to no one and crunch numbers. It was so that's. But now I'm doing other things during the day, and I'm doing more stuff here, and uh, I'm I'm a whole lot happier than I was a year ago at this time.
Just brag about it, Brian.
No, I'm not saying life is perfect. I'm saying I don't come home miserable every night. I don't cry in a parking garage. That's what happened to the day. But it's all good. I mean, I'm still close with my brothers. Everything was fine. It's just I made the decision that it was best for me to move on.
Yeah, I am very jealous.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not going to lie.
It's not been – I took a cut in pay, but so now I'm doing more radio stuff. People know that I'm here and that I'm somewhere else selling brushes. On the weekends, and then I've been substitute teaching. So that's
yeah. You do a variety of things. You have gigs.
I do a lot of things.
You're used to gigging.
None
around.
None of them well.
No, but you're used to gigging around. I wish I could get back into that. I guess anybody can kind of get into that to a degree because you just do a gig. You have to get into something,
right?
I don't know who sitting in front of a computer for 8 hours is for.
There's some people who can do it.
I do it now, and right. I like my job. I really do. In case anyone I work with is listening, but no, I actually do like my job. But it is hard sometimes. Sometimes I get to the end of my day and I look around and I'm just like, I have interacted with maybe two people in person,
yeah,
and it was small talk, or pleasantries, or passing exchange. And now it's the end of the day,
yeah.
And 8 hours just happened, and I will never get those 8 hours back, or yeah. Nine, or whatever.
I was there for nine, and it was, yeah, it's and, not, and, some people like that, though. Some people don't mind, their brains work well sitting and just looking at data and analyzing that, and they don't need a lot of external contact. And it wasn't that the people I was working with weren't nice, they were all very nice, but it was not... My talents were not suited for that environment, I don't think.
Sure.
And I was there for 2 years, so it was like I think I gave it a good shot.
Yeah, I think there are quite a few people in America that do spend plenty of time in front of computers.
Most and a lot of people, you know, listen, my way is not the right way for 99.9% of the world, but some people, you do what you have to do, and if that's the What's going on up there?
Yeah, I know. I saw the same thing.
For those of you who aren't in the studio, which is everybody.
That was really bizarre.
Yeah, we have a monitor here that has four different camera angles. The newsroom, the traffic booth, the business office, which is Orion Samuelson's office, and the sports office. Three of those were illuminated. The sports was not. And suddenly it was like the Blair Witch Project was happening in the sports office.
Yeah, I saw something out of the corner of my eye. It was kind of like a flicker, and I was distracted, and I looked over, and at the sports camera, someone was just pointing a flashlight at the camera.
Maybe a heist is going on up there. You know how they do that with the heist movies? Maybe somebody just ripped off the sports studio.
Very strange. We just shining out a flashlight in.
We should get up there.
Should we?
No. I don't care. Let them steal whatever they want. Boy, that was harsh.
No one's stealing it.
Nobody's stealing it. Well, and if they are, we can't
stop
them.
And yet, you made such a big deal on the air about if you see something, say something.
Who am I going to say something to?
Do you see somebody shoplifting?
I just told everybody who's listening to this podcast that we think a heist is going on in the sports office. If they choose not to report it, that's on them
now.
Oh,
okay. You're passing the buck.
No, I'm alerting people.
So you're passing the buck.
Sure. Hold on. It was security. Everything's fine.
Oh, very nice. In fact, actually, I've got a phone call, too.
Do you?
Hello? Oh, yes. Oh, very well. Great. That was Roger Badish. He said he doesn't mind not being on the program.
Oh, that's nice. And if you don't understand why we're doing that, what
program? Go listen to our first episode.
Was it the first episode?
The first one where we talked about our history in radio.
Okay.
Well, you talked about your history in radio. I didn't actually talk about my history in radio at all, really. I did radio in college, and then I did it here. Because I did some weird stuff.
You have a history?
Because you talked about you used to host a gospel program, which
is
crazy.
Yes, the Gospel Hour.
I didn't tell people I used to host a techno show.
Wow.
It's called the High Power Energy Hour. And the first show I ever did was called Jazz Inflections.
Really?
On KDCS Bulldog Radio. It was an NPR-like show where I scripted out almost the entire.
Wow.
Now, I know that's not our style.
You think?
Not that we are judgmental of people that script out their entire show.
No, no, no. Everybody's got their own way of doing things.
This was the type of show that was better scripted.
Okay, sure.
You know, because you play a jazz piece, and then I would talk a little bit about the history of the artist. Let's say I played Coltrane. I would talk about Coltrane and his styling.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Things. So, yeah.
Sure, there's no judgment here.
Yeah, man. I did a jazz show. I did all the show. I judge people all the time.
Jazz and techno.
I feel like I did other stuff. But, yeah, we can another time. Back to the questions.
All right. Do we have any more? How many more do we have?
Day job stuff. I also feel like we could spend a lot longer talking about day jobs and how people spend their time.
Yes.
But the amount of sleep I'm running on, and I'm guessing the listener can probably hear me running out of steam.
No, you're fine.
You think you're fine?
Awesome. Listen, I know you're...
I'm very judgmental of myself, you know.
Relax. So you're happy with your day job? You'll enjoy your day job?
This is a whole nother thing.
Oh, a can of worms.
It's two can of worms. And you told me you couldn't podcast too late tonight.
Yeah, well, how long have we been podcasting?
We have been...
No, I just said I didn't want to start much later because I know how long we usually go. So if we had started like late, then it would go very late.
This is by far the longest podcast we've ever done.
Yeah, I feel like we've been talking for an hour and a half.
We're at an hour 40.
Oh, well, then I've...
So you're about right, yeah.
And didn't you tell me at the beginning, this is why I laugh, because when we were first throwing this idea around, and I came to you and asked if you would be, you know, willing to do this with me, you said yes, and the nice thing, podcasts are like 20 minutes. So right now we've done five podcasts? I did say that. Yeah. Oh, podcasts. Oh, yeah, they're short. We'll keep them short. People like to listen to short podcasts. But our show is 3 hours, and since we post these when the show is usually on, you know, insert commercials if you want and stretch it out to 3 hours.
Yeah, easily.
Or not.
Yeah, easily.
Or we could talk for 3 hours, and everybody will have a shotgun in their mouth.
The thing is, we've gotten so much positive feedback.
Is that right?
I mean, from the Facebook page. From our fans. Our fans like it.
Well, who else is going to listen to it? I hate that guy. Where's his podcast?
There's a lot of people that hate our show on the radio and listen to it.
Well, that's the key to success. You got to get the haters to listen longer. Go, man, I hate this guy. Why are you listening? I hate him. It's that old Howard Stern thing from Private Parts.
What do you say?
They said they were looking at the numbers and they said, oh, the people who like him listen, and I the numbers are not important. I'm just the people who love him listen to him for 20 minutes. Oh, what about the people who hate him? They listen to him for 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. So I do remember that.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
No, but I've had fun doing it. I'm having fun doing these.
That's what I'm saying.
So anyway.
So
anyway, we can start wrapping up pretty soon.
Well, there's one more question.
Yes. Well, let's do it. I thought there were two. Didn't one come in on Twitter? Which questions are you looking at?
Oh, one day come.
All right. Go ahead and ask a question.
Hold on. Wait, the labels. I don't know what you're chair, doing. The day job, the chair, Roger Badish.
There was one. There no, that was it.
Yeah,
Twitter.
The Twitter is the last one.
Okay.
Are you going to look at the tweet?
Go ahead. Oh, here it is. Please give us your view about... This is from Gashu Pimp, at Gashu Pimp on Twitter. Please tell us your view about legalizing weed in Illinois as a way to fix the budget and take money from the gangs. Whoa, getting heavy. This is a quagmire when you talk about legalizing weed. I think it's great that they're legalizing medical marijuana because forever I thought that... keeping medical marijuana from people who are suffering in chronic pain and stuff, who could be helped by legal cannabis, whether it's edibles or smoking, I think that's horrific. And I think if it can help somebody who's really sick, I know a guy who has cancer. He's the father of someone I'm close to.
Oh.
He has very bad cancer. And the only way they could get him to eat and keep himself nourished, they tried all kinds of the regular medicine, the big pharmaceutical medicine, till someone got him some marijuana. Suddenly, he was able to eat. He was able to build up some strength because he had his appetite back. I think to withhold marijuana from people who are suffering like that is criminal.
That's cruel.
I think it's compassionate to do that. Now, I don't know enough. I'll be honest. I've never smoked marijuana in my life.
Right.
I'm a drinker. That's my thing. I've never done any sort of chemical drug. And I know marijuana is not, it's natural. It grows in the ground. I don't know enough about it because you hear some people say it's fine. It's not a gateway. Some people say it is a gateway drug. Other, you know, there's no shortage of demand for it. We sell liquor, which, you know, causes a lot of accidents, causes a lot of heartache in people. I don't know if legalizing marijuana would be a good thing or bad. I just don't know. See, that's the thing. I got no problem with people smoking marijuana if they want to. I'm very close to people who've smoked marijuana and some who continue to smoke marijuana. They all lead productive lives. You know, they're not Brad Pitt from True Romance. They're not just laying on the couch smoking out of a Honey Bear bong. They're out doing stuff. So I don't know. Would it, you know, if we taxed it, that's the argument. Let's tax it and make a lot of money. Well, this state could use a lot of money. So I don't, I wish I knew more, you know. Plus, maybe if it was illegal, I'd get myself a big skull bong hookah. We just toke up during the show every week. If it was legal, this place would be like an opium den. This studio, the Allstate Showcase studio, every Sunday night would be like Spicoli's van in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. We would open the door at 9 o'clock and smoke would just billow down the hall. So Rick Kogan, who comes on after us, he would get a contact high 7 floors up. That's how stoned we would be if marijuana was legal in this state. First weekend it was legal, we would do it. Just cause.
Who's we?
You and me.
Oh, and see,
as part of the show.
And see, I can say because my and I know the joke immediately that's going to be made by both you and the listeners. Oh yeah, of course he's going to say the Colorado. But I've totally tried weed.
Yeah.
And yes, it's because it's legal in Colorado.
Sure, I would try it if it was legal.
Because I can say that. So I've totally tried it. And here's my thing, and I've heard this argument made, and it kind of makes sense. You hear about alcohol.
Right.
Alcohol's legal. You hear about drunk drivers killing people.
Sure.
You hear about guys getting drunk and beating up their wives or their whatever, their kids or whatever.
Whoever. Fights. How many fights happen outside bars?
Oh, yeah. Drunken fights, drunken vomiting, things like that. You get people getting sick, people drinking too much and going to the hospital because they got to get their stomach pumped from alcohol. Alcohol is a hell of a drug that can cause a whole lot of damage. And cigarettes are legal.
Right.
Cigarettes cause lung cancer.
Yeah, it's proven.
They
kill people all the time.
Cigarettes kill you. You get a hole in your throat. That we have a listener, bless his heart, who has a voice box.
Okay.
And I believe that listener has told me before it was because of smoking. I believe. I can't remember. And I love talking to this listener. Really, really friendly, kind listener that usually will call with a really great joke or comment.
Yeah.
And never asked to go on the air, I think, probably because – maybe self-conscious about the way it sounded. I don't know. So that said, when's the last time you heard about somebody getting high and killing somebody or getting high and beating somebody? Oh, yeah, this guy smoked weed and beat his wife. And, yeah, you could say, well, yeah, because it's illegal. Who would do that? But we read stories in Florida news all the time about
people
on
who do
crack,
stupid stuff.
On cocaine, on every kind of drug. Not one of those people – I don't even think in naked news is high.
I don't remember. I mean, I'm sure there have been some, but, you know.
And I know a lot of people. I mean, I used to do stand-up. I'm sure you knew a lot of people that did all sorts of stuff.
Yeah,
smoked
did weed.
I mean, I used to be in the improv scene. I knew a ton of people that smoked weed. Right. Not a one of them ever had any problems. The most trouble you could get into getting high was buying too many Doritos.
That's
honestly,
true, man. You get the munchies.
That was straight up it. So I just don't see any logical reason. And recent studies have shown that there's no link between even early brain damage development, even if you smoke when you're really young. So
yeah, because that's the other thing that I've read too, where people, you know, if you smoke it too early, it retards the growth of your brain in adolescence and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, they even just released a thing that revoked that. Yeah. I literally see zero reasons why it should be illegal. And there isn't. Other than back in the 50s and 60s, people
Reefer
were told,
madness, buddy.
Oh, it's bad.
Reefer madness.
But there's
plus,
no
at
reason.
This point, you know, it's not controlled by big tobacco or big pharmaceutical, but it will be. I mean, look at the licenses they have to grant and the money – Once they start seeing more of the money, because the medical marijuana is legal in the states that have the money that's coming into Colorado and Washington and the places where it is legal, the money's unbelievable. Somebody's going to tap into that. And one of these lobbies is going to get to the big lawmakers in D.C., and that's going to change, and it's going to become legal. Just because there's no way they can ignore that kind of money. Just like they couldn't ignore the demand and the money associated with alcohol and the money behind the other lobbies for all the other drug companies that are giving people things that, you know, are helpful to some people but harmful to others and are being abused just like anything else. So I think it's coming. And, you know, it's one of those things. If you let the genie out of the bottle and the genie's a bad genie, then you wrestle that genie to the ground and put him back in, you know. They tried it with prohibition. It didn't work. I don't know if it would work if they legalized the weed. But what you don't hear is stories coming out of Colorado and the other states where it's legal of, you know, big marijuana gang wars or people losing their minds all of a sudden or an uptick in all sorts of crime because people are trying to, you know, steal to pay for their marijuana habit. For the most part, it's people who are recreational users just like it is now, but now they don't have to be afraid of going to jail.
Right.
Or getting a ticket.
Right.
You know, it's if you smoke a lot of weed now, you'll smoke a lot of weed when it's legal. If you don't smoke weed now, there's a good chance you probably won't smoke weed even if it's legal. You know, I joke about it. I don't know if I ever really would. You know, maybe I'd try it once if it was legal, but maybe not. You know, it's not like I have this burning desire to, you know, toke up. But, you know, I think it'd be fine.
But, you know, we'd have to do a podcast high.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Because it'd be hilarious.
We'd have to do something high.
Oh, yeah.
It would be like the episode of WKRP where they drank on the air and then had the trooper there to test their reaction time as the drunker they got. The problem was the drunker they got, the better they got. So I think it'd be funny. I think it'd be funny to do a show, you know. But we'd have to have a – I would want my pot smoking to be elaborate. I would want some giant bong, you know. I would want the whole thing. I would want lava lamps around.
We'd have to get
I would
like
want tie-dye.
We'd have to get like a microphone bong, like out of a – use it, hollow out an old microphone.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
That we're not using anymore.
Yeah, just have it come right up. Come right up and shoot into our mouths. Have it like a double barrel. One is the microphone, and right next to it is the bong.
It'd be great.
So people could hear the – and then we'd hit it.
I have friends that rage about – rave? Rave. They rave about edibles.
Really? But I hear if you – that's a very – I've heard people who say it's a very delicate balance because if you eat just a little too much, then it's like you're wasted.
Oh, no, I've heard horror stories. No, people freak out. Because and it's the same as alcohol. Same as alcohol is you do some shots. Oh, I'm not drunk. I better do more. Well, suddenly you're throwing up.
Right.
Same with edibles. You eat a brownie and then you think, oh, well, you know, it wasn't that strong. Because you don't wait. And then you eat a second one. And then when it hits you, boom.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking from personal experience, but I have heard people freak out. And I don't even know what it would be like to freak out from getting too high. Because that hasn't happened to me. But I don't know.
Dude, you're so high.
Anyway,
I would talk like that. I would do the whole show like that.
Yeah, I agree. I see no logical reason why marijuana shouldn't be legal, and I think it would make us so much money.
Oh, it'd make us a ton of money.
I mean, it made Colorado.
The schools would be fine. You know, we wouldn't have the state clamoring because they didn't have a budget because they have no money. We wouldn't have Illinois trying to take over the Chicago public schools. We wouldn't have – I don't know how much gangs are into marijuana. Probably are.
I mean,
it's criminal, so there's crime involved in it. Somebody's right. somebody's bringing in the weed, you know.
Yeah,
but I think it's much less insidious than name any other drug.
Yeah,
you know, and I think you're fine.
Yeah,
but I think we're a ways away because we still live in the puritanical society, and you know, there's a whole segment of the culture that doesn't want anybody to have any fun.
It's just so weird. It doesn't make any sense. It's like TV. So when I saw The Hateful Eight,
yes.
Way too violent. You're seeing people's heads literally get blown off with guns. And it's so like gross.
Over the top.
But you can't show sex on TV.
Right.
Sex is a thing that people generally have to do to continue the existence of their species.
It's dirty.
Whereas I don't think that people's faces getting blown off by shotguns is a natural thing that God intended, quite frankly. And yet we can show any type of violence on TV and people getting cut up and sutured and having body parts ripped off and stuff. But we can't show sex. It's, yeah, this society's so messed up.
This society, I blame the economy.
It's all the, man, ever since 9/11, man, I'm telling you, everything
Everything has gone to hell.
Everything's gone to hell. All right.
Just like this podcast. Was that the last question?
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah, all right. Well, listen, this has been, we're wrapping it up. I'm pulling the plug on
this. That was an Arrested Development reference, by the way.
What was?
The since 9/11 thing.
Oh, was it?
It was, I believe.
I missed it.
I believe Tobias says it. So I didn't really say it in the right tone. Tobias says in the middle, somebody says something and he says, well, I don't want to blame it exactly, but ever since 9/11, and it's, you know, it's just completely, completely ridiculous.
All I know is there's always money in the banana stand. There you go.
I got that reference because that wasn't as obscure.
That was not obscure. That's why I knew it, because I did not watch a lot of Arrested Development. Every time I saw it, I loved it. But I never – is it on somewhere where I can binge watch it?
Netflix.
Is it Netflix?
Yeah.
Oh.
And you gotta binge watch it because that show builds on the jokes every episode.
Right.
So they get funnier and funnier. And by the end, it's just like the last episode, the last season of South Park did the same thing.
Now, is the power bar on the Wii light sensitive?
The power bar?
As we bring it all the way back to the beginning. The sensor bar.
For those of us who lasted the 2 hours.
If you lasted the 2 hours, you should get a prize. I don't know what that prize would be. A warm embrace from Cody. Come down when the show begins and the real show when we're back on the air the 31st of January.
You know we're going to get Facebook comments and people will actually show up.
To hug you?
Yeah, I'm a good hugger.
All right. I'm fine with that.
I've been told I'm a good hugger.
I will. You can go out on Michigan Avenue and hug people in front of the Showcase studio.
Why do I have to go outside? It's freezing.
Listen, I don't want people wandering through here. Wandering in. You hug them, then they're going to go, hey, what about you, Brian? And, I don't want to be the guy who doesn't want to hug people.
Yeah, that's true.
So you got to do all your hugging outside. I'll narrate it. You can talk to us through the outside mic, the street mic. That way, if somebody knifes you instead of hugs you, I can call the police.
Okay.
Because if you see something, say something. Unless it's up on the 7th floor. Then there's a lot of people between us and them that could say something.
Quite a few.
Yep. All right. So, pardon me. How do we wrap this up? We just say goodbye again, as always. Thank you for listening. Thank you. We're going to, if you enjoy the podcast and you would like the podcast to continue, leave us a note either on Facebook or Twitter at Brian Noonan Show or at Producer Cody on Twitter. We will take that into consideration and see once the terrestrial show starts up again at the end of in the next week or so. Whenever you're listening to this, we go back January. It was the 31st
ish.
Yeah, 31st ish. Year of our Lord 2016.
So glad you said the year of our Lord.
Year of our Lord 2016.
That was great.
And then we'll be back. So if you like it, we'll see. Maybe we keep doing a podcast too to supplement the other show. Look, Cody rolled his eyes. It wouldn't be 2 hours, I'll tell you that much. Right.
Yeah,
now.
How did
we get so long?
Well, because hypothetically, this is the last.
Oh, special double 2 hour.
Because we don't
finale?
Need to come in next week because next
we'll be on the show.
Week we'll have a show
the show's
on Sunday.
Coming back.
So
show's coming back. Show's coming back.
So we're probably not. So we're not going to record one next week.
I don't know. Are we?
I mean, we'll have to talk. Well, who knows? We'll leave the listener in suspense.
Yeah, will we? Will there be another one?
Yeah.
Oh, look who's back.
And no, you can't. We can't talk anymore. We're at 2 hours.
We're at 2 hours.
Oh, my God.
2 hours.
No, I want to talk. I don't know which mic it is.
Guest four.
Where is it?
Guest four.
Oh, he turned it on. He hit the button and turned it on. You turned yourself on.
Right, but you had to have
him. You had to pop me up, so I appreciate that.
Jeff Carlin's back.
I only came down to say that I love the Bernie sweatshirt on
Cody.
Oh,
thank you.
Cody, very political.
Wow.
And Cody and I are now friends on Facebook.
Wow,
was
you're
that
like,
right?
You're like the only person at this station, I think, that likes this.
Likes it? I mean,
that I've seen.
Hmm. Like people come up to you and are like, "Damn it, Cody."
We got people all over the political spectrum upstairs.
This
I don't know
true.
If you knew that.
Yeah, and they are not shy about attacking
his wardrobe.
They got
some strong opinions, and they are not all fans. They're not all feeling the burn. Let's just say
that's
that.
Unfortunate. Wow. I mean, I'm not necessarily burning myself, but. I appreciate this, the incentive.
The activism,
yeah,
sure.
Exactly. I love what he does.
Cool. Yeah.
And once again, Craig, what the hell are you still doing here?
We had a post-show...
soiree.
Yeah, soiree.
Oh, is that right?
For our grouping here.
Oh, very nice.
We're losing a member.
Yes.
I know. It was kind of a farewell tour of sorts. So.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. So, but I saw the coats upstairs for both of you gentlemen.
Yes, and you knew.
I knew you'd be down here, and I'm on my way out, so I thought I'd pop in just to say hi and make your podcast that much longer.
Well,
I'm
always a pleasure.
I'm actually kind of glad you did, honestly, because when Brian was wrapping up, we were at an hour and 57 minutes.
Uh-huh.
So now with you, we're closer. We're going to hit 2 hours.
Which is about cereal territory.
Yeah, this is an hour and 45 minutes too long.
Wait, cereal? Cereal is only like
30... Well, collectively.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so, okay. Collectively.
Yeah, I don't think anybody has the audacity to think they could talk for 2 hours.
And someone would on their phone or a device would be like, oh, I'll keep this on going. I'm at home doing whatever else I've been doing for the last hour and 45
yeah,
minutes.
If you're, I don't know, maybe you're on a treadmill for 2 hours. What are you, anorexic?
So you can either listen to all of Serial or this. One Brian Noonan Show podcast.
Wow.
Tempting. That's tempting.
I don't know where to go.
Yeah. You're,
this is I don't even know if I'd listen for 2 hours.
This is 20% of Making a Murderer, and right now I don't think you'd win.
Well, you know what? After listening to this for 2 hours, somebody is becoming homicidal.
You've
I guarantee
made a murderer.
You.
It's a Brian Noonan Show, otherwise known as We've Made a Murderer.
We've Made a Murderer. That's our new thing. Well, always good to see you, Jeff.
Yeah, gentlemen, always good to see you. I came in through around the corner. I don't know if people are familiar with the studio you're in now, but I had a hunch you'd still be down here. I saw the light on. I said, cha-ching, I'm going to come in. And
there you
say
go.
Hi.
Well, listen, we were just wrapping up, so hang on because we're going to say goodbye.
I got to ask, though, Are you tipsy this week as well?
Right.
Nice. Yes.
Surprisingly, I don't know why it worked out, but yeah, surprisingly, yes.
I like that. We love having people come by who are drunk or tipsy. Not drunk. You're still tipsy. You know,
drunk.
A little buzz. A little happy buzz.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were just talking about if they ever legalized marijuana, got to do some kind of show high or something.
Well, you know, there's a guy in Colorado. He made millions of dollars doing something ridiculous. I don't remember what it was, but he bought a station that he grew up in Denver because it was going under, and they were like, oh, you know, we don't have the money. So he went up, and his name's Ganja John.
Nice.
It's his radio name. So he bought the station.
Wait, his parents didn't name him Ganja?
No, surprisingly, he did not do that.
All right.
He bought the station solely for the purpose that he thought, I do not want this to go under. My childhood was here, and he doesn't run any commercials. He just runs the music he wants. He does one show a day. And then hired all his friends to hang on and do like other shows. And he's got a crazy amount of sponsors. So everything is sponsored.
Nice.
He doesn't run commercials because he bought it and is like, we don't need to do commercials. It's, you know, right. This is for fun. You know.
Wow. Cody, send a tape. You got to work for Ganja John.
Dude, I am all over it.
I'll put you in touch.
Where is it in Colorado?
It's in Denver.
It's in Denver?
In fact,
Mile
from
High City.
Chicago. He's a Chicagoan.
Ganja
and
when
I worked
John.
At, and I worked at WLS. He, I had him on there, and the pin was like, I'm like, you know, I'm from WLS. He's like, holy crap, WLS, I love that place. I grew up in Chicago.
Wait, you talked to him?
Yeah, I talked to him. I had him on. We talked about his show and what he did and how crazy it was that
wow.
he was doing this. And he's a really interesting guy. And I think he might have been on a reality TV show at one point, too, after he made his millions. And
really?
Then he did this. He's a really interesting guy.
Wow, that sounds fascinating,
dude. You may listeners, it's gonna be your fault if Brian and I suddenly disappear
from
this
Denver.
Station.
We're
man,
in Denver.
That sounds.
We're your Nuggets fans.
We're in tie dye, just talking to Ganja John, doing some crosstalk with Ganja John. That would be stupid.
It's too tempting. It's too tempting
it
to
tempting.
Not. I gotta call this.
Yeah,
guy
but he
up.
Pays you in weed. Every week you just get a kilo of weed.
Brian, you're not making this sound less appealing to me.
All right,
I'm just
I imagine he pays cash too.
Does he pay cash?
I would think so.
Well, cuz you got to buy your
he's a
you
capitalist know. At heart.
Well, he made a lot of money.
Yeah, so he spreads right. the wealth and the greenery, so to speak.
Wow. Well, you need that greenery to brighten up your scenery.
Exactly.
No taxes coming out of that paycheck.
Right on.
Yeah, right.
Right on.
And you can take the weed break.
What's the weed break?
Weed break? Oh my God! So, you know,
wow, we were talking about threesomes and unicorns earlier, which now we're talking about weed,
which I am sad I was not part of. But the weed break, the smoke break now. So in states that have legalized marijuana, like creative industries. Now, we're not talking like, you know, heavy lifting or, you know, forklift operators and such.
Right.
We're talking about people who work in advertising or whatever in these states where weed is legal. They say, well, you know, I need to take a weed break if I could, you know, and then the creative types are like, oh, go for it. You know, it's legal here.
So you just wander out and
choke
up. Yeah,
instead of taking a smoke break for, you know, to kill yourself, essentially, take a weed break to make yourself more creative.
Again, not making it sound less appealing.
I'm telling you, man.
Well, listen, cut up this 2.5-hour podcast into like a 3-minute segment. And then go from there.
I think 2 hours, though, for if you're going after the Denver Stoner crowd.
For the Stoner crowd, this is perfect.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, 3 hours will go by, and they will not know what happened.
If this was if Stoners were the target audience, I think this would be the show they listen to.
You think so?
This would be the podcast right here.
You don't think we move too fast?
It would just hypnotize them. They'd be seeing colors and sound. So it'd be fantastic.
Because sometimes we're very fast-paced, very energetic. I bring the energy to the podcast. I don't know if you heard that.
I have not caught that, but I trust you.
Because Jeff knows from working with me, I'm very laconic. I like to just let it roll off my tongue.
I'm more of a Harry Laconic Jr. kind of guy.
Yeah,
Harry
Laconic.
Hi-yo.
Good morning.
Wow, thanks, Dad. I'm glad he could make it.
Harry Laconic Jr.
I love
Jr.
dad jokes.
Look, we can't top Harry Laconic Jr., so let's not even try.
That's it.
Thank you for listening. Let us know if you like the podcast. The regular show returns January 31st on Sunday nights. Maybe the podcast returns. You'll just have to wait and see. Thank you, Cody.
We'll see. It's over when I say it's over.
All right.
Well, no, literally the phrase it's over, okay, which I've now said twice.
I'm done.
So I think it's over twice. He usually says I'm done, too, and then turns off his mic. Everyone else turns off their mics. The mind just stays on, and I just keep going, and everyone just wonders when's he going to finally just say it's over and then actually stop recording, because it is over.